grateful and thankful for the new year that you've given to us. We honor and praise you for all of our blessings. Lord, we ask that you be with our local government as they make decisions. We ask, O Lord, that you give them wisdom in dealing with these situations and with these people, that you give them patience as they deal with the various complaints and struggles that they face. O Lord, help us to live our lives to honor and glorify you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone this evening. Happy New Year. I hope your holiday was really good. And thank you especially for coming out and sitting in this cool weather that we're having. A couple things that we always go over. If you have your cell phones and if you haven't silenced them, if you don't mind to do that at this time. If you're here and you want to speak about something that's not on our agenda tonight, agenda item number 20 is where you would have time to speak, and you can come forward, state your name and address, and you have 3 minutes to speak. If it's something that needs further time or further something done to it, then we can agenda that for a future meeting. With that being said, then we're going to go to number 3, approval of the agenda. Are there any changes, deletions, additions, or anything about the agenda? If not, is there a motion to approve?
No, we approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Bids and public hearings. Number 4, the board to receive bids for the mitigation of 4 single family homes in the HLMP program set for this date at 6 p.m. or as soon thereafter as possible. I think at this time we need each commissioner to declare if they're related or not. I'm not related.
Not related.
Not related.
Not related.
Okay.
is $53,987. That's all from Florida Homes. The next one is Certified Roofing and Construction from Newberry, Florida. And the first one is on Mary Jones. Their total bid is $25,415. Okay, the next one's on Deborah Allen. Their bid is $29,191. The next is Raymond Beach. And his total is $35,795. The next one is Gary Cottrell. That bid is $45,829.
And the bid committee is who? Jay Mosley, LaWanna Pemberton, Jamie Boothby, and myself.
Thank you.
And you all will be bringing back your recommendation back on the 16th.
Yes, so this is the program that it doesn't have a cap like CHIP, so FEMA does a cost benefit analysis after we award the bids, so we don't, the cost isn't a major concern on this.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Questions number five. The board to hold a public hearing set for this date at 6:05 p.m. or as soon thereafter as possible regarding a proposed ordinance to amend the number of members voting requirements of the Taylor County Development Authority, the TCDA. Since this is a public hearing, is there anyone from the public here who wishes to speak on this agenda item?
What does it do?
What they're asking is, what they're asking is to increase the number of members. And the reason that they're asking that is because they've had a problem getting a quorum at the meetings. So they want to increase the number, thinking that this will help meet the quorum.
It doesn't change if you vote, though, right? Ex officio member vote or not vote?
Right now, no, they do not vote. So anyone else from the public wish to speak or ask any questions about this? Okay. I did have someone to question about the city representative and the county representative, which is me, about having voting privileges. And they were under the impression that that was something that this board had put into place. But as I remember correctly, it was the TCDA that suggested that we not vote. And I can certainly see the reasoning behind that, because there's many things that are discussed that may or may not come before this board to vote on. So, does anybody have an opinion on that?
Are you the only one that can't vote? And then the cities?
The city cannot, and I cannot. The city, their representative.
Yeah,
Eric's up here for your motion.
I don't have any strong feelings about it one way or the other. And you're our representative down here. If you feel like you'd be more beneficial to this body as a voting member rather than another official, I could be persuaded to go in that direction.
Well,
I'd actually rather see the authority given to you as a voting member and the city as a voting member and not increase the number of people, because it doesn't do anything to increase people, because you still have to get so many of them to show up. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I've had people complain to me within the last 2 weeks about the fact that there was an increase in legal people and they got everybody off the meeting. Well, that's not the way it is. But that's what helped us couple. And I said, no, that's not the way it is. We won't do it that way. But I'd rather you vote and rather the city representative vote. And then you've got five, and majority, that's two. You only need one more, you have a four. And we wouldn't need to change this to a seven-member board, and I think that's, I'm not going to vote for seven-member board.
Mr. Lake?
I just want to convey a conversation I had with Bob Brown that it would be the city position. They'd like to see nine voting members, two additional, and then yourself, and then the mayor as voting members also. Well, just passing that along for whatever it's worth.
Yes.
I also don't understand how increasing the number of members up to nine, quorum would be 5 out of 9. I can't see where that's any easier to meet than 4 out of 7. But if that's what TCBA wants, the number of people that are on the committee doesn't bother me. Now, if we were to approve this resolution, this ordinance, somebody has to appoint two additional members. Are those county appointees? Or are they city appointees, or one from each body? Or is it spoken to in the proposed ordinance? It was appointed.
It might be in our best interest for that Mr. Lackey to call Mr. Brown and find out what he wants us to do. I'm resentful for the fact that Mr. Brown comes up and says something, because we're the one financing the TCDA, not the city of Perry.
Commissioner Moody?
I don't see where it makes any difference. You know, if they need more to be able to get a quorum, I think they need to do it. But they need to have a rule that if they miss so many meetings, they'll be out of there too. I feel like going along with the nine, you know, it's fine, but I've been on boards where if you miss 3 meetings in 1 year, you're out of there. And that makes a little bit of sense, because if somebody's not interested enough to miss 3 whole meetings in a year, they don't need to be there no vote then. Hardly can, but I feel about it. So 9 would be 9 for me.
Okay. Since I sit on that board, I really personally don't have a strong opinion either. If that's what they want, and I was not a voting member when they decided this, I did not vote on the change. So, to me, I don't care. I mean, if you've got more, there are ups and, you know, there's positives and negatives to it. If you've got more people, it could bring more to the table and more people with more ideas and everything. So I'm not opposed to that. But I do understand, how does it help the quorum issue? And I certainly think that there should be something in the bylaws that say if you miss so many consecutive meetings or so many in a year, that you probably need to resign or be replaced. In terms of voting, again, it was certainly okay with me at that time when they voted for the county and the city representative not to vote, because, and I can't remember at this time what they were discussing then, but it was certainly something that I felt like I had already abstained that day. I said, this is something that I'm not going to vote on today, because I feel like it will be a conflict of interest. And then that came up later about, well, do we really want the city and the county officials to vote anyway? So that's my take on it. Anybody else? Yes.
Or do you want to read the ordinance by title?
That would be nice. Is there a motion to read the ordinance by title?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion carries.
An ordinance of Tarrant County, Florida, amending Appendix B, Special Acts Article 3, Boards, Commissioners, and Authorities, Division 2, Development Authority, Section 320 and Section 322, to provide for membership and quorum. A, to amend the number of members of Tarrant County Development Authority and amending the voting requirements of the Tarrant County Development Authority to conform with Florida statutes to provide for an effective date and repeal all ordinance in conflict.
Thank you, Mr. Bishop.
One thing that I think we need to read part of it, though, with regards to membership, et cetera, okay, for y'all and for the public. It's 320, membership, et cetera. And what it does is it strikes and then it replaces it. And it says, the authority shall be composed of 7 voting members and 2 ex officio non-voting voting members. Voting members shall be residents and electors of the county and shall be appointed by the county commission. The ex officio members shall be 1 county commissioner appointed by the county commissioner and 1 city of Perry city council member designated by the city council of the city of Perry and confirmed by county commission. The 7 voting members shall each serve 4-year terms. The county commission shall fill any vacancy for an unexpired term. A member of the authority shall be eligible for reappointment. Any member of the authority may be removed by the county commission for misfeasance, malfeasance, or willful neglect of duty. Each member of the authority before entering upon his or her duty shall take and subscribe an oath or affirmation required by the state constitution. A record of each such oath shall be filed with the Department of State and with the clerk.
What'd you say, Mel? Said
that's something new,
because
I think
you're probably thinking it. I don't recall taking an oath either, or anybody else for that matter. So, yes.
I'll go up if you need to.
Yes,
I told I need to. I got a question. It's really one of the Bishop. My name's Oliver Allen. The legislature created the Tarrant County Development Authority when John Dickert was. If they got handling as organized. You don't have to go back to them to change it. Can the Development Authority change their bylaws? Can you all change their bylaws? That's the question, Mr. Bishop.
The bylaws would be probably by the authority.
Yes.
You can change it?
I would say so. Off the top of my head.
Yes.
It's a creature of the legislature. I remember when I was talking about it. That's the question to you. I don't even know what you're talking about.
The way it's been, I believe, is that the TCBA board has done that and voted and approved that.
Their bylaws. Their bylaws.
Mm.
Okay.
Can I? Yes.
Madam Chair.
Now, this thing that you're advertising for is just to add those members. It's not to change the voting rights of anybody. So if they're going to do anything else, you're going to need to not do anything with this ordinance and have Conrad redrafted if you want the chairman of the board or whoever serves on there and the city person to vote.
I think we should go with what we have here tonight because the TCDA board has said unanimously that that's the way they wanted it. They didn't want they didn't feel like the city official and the county official would vote, and they wanted to increase it to 7 members. So we'll be voting tonight on the increase in members only. So,
Madam Chair, in order to move things forward, I move that we approve the ordinance.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Dips. Any further discussion?
I'm going to vote against it, and the reason why I'm going to vote against it because it's just as hard to get 5 votes as it is to get 3 out of 5. I agree with that. I think that's ridiculous.
Okay.
You're
going to call them on?
Yes. Commissioner Moody?
Yes.
Commissioner Page?
Yes.
Commissioner Dent?
Yes.
Commissioner Russell?
No.
Commissioner Beagle?
Yes.
It passed by 4-1 vote.
Thank you.
While we're on,
I was just going to hand this to you. You need it. put in that it was, it's 2018 when it was passed. It says 2017 on the copy that I've got on the signature page.
Okay.
While we're on the development authority, I asked Conrad about 2.5 months ago about $100,000 that we give somebody. Have you any more information on that?
I didn't get any more information than what I've got so far, Commissioner.
Okay.
That's all I got.
I understand. You can't get it if it's not there.
Okay, consent items 6 through 10. Is there a motion to adopt the consent items?
I've got one on 8. On 8.
Two hand lease?
That I wanted to tell you about that needs to be corrected on that lease. On page 1 of the lease, it says the term of this agreement shall commence on 1 December 2020. I know I'm getting older, but we ain't there yet. I don't know how that happened, but I thought it was kind of funny.
We don't want to rush it along, do we?
No, we sure don't.
Okay, that could be.
So you can just mark through it and initial it when you pass the consent items.
Okay.
And up top it says 2017.
Yeah, but if you look down at the bottom.
Yeah, I see it. Now, I read the thing. Okay, you have a motion.
Okay, do we have a motion and a second?
Yeah.
Who made the motion? I forget now. Okay. We have a motion by Commissioner Russell, second by Commissioner Dents. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. County staff items number 11. The board to consider acceptance of transfer of travel trailer from Doctors Memorial Hospital to Taylor County Emergency Management as agenda by the Emergency Management Director.
Thank you. I think it's a little premature. I'm not asking for the actual transfer tonight. There's still some, I know what this says, but it was the holidays which made me rush to put this in, but as it stipulates in the agenda item, Doctor's Memorial, and Tom is here if you have any questions, received a grant through the Big Bend Healthcare Coalition. They received a camper. The purpose of that camper, a travel trailer, was for continuity of operations. If something happened to the station in Steam Hatchie, it could be used as a command post and so forth. And that was all done for whatever reason without approval from their board. So their board has asked Doctors Memorial to dispose of the trailer, travel trailer. Of course, Big Bend Healthcare Coalition says they don't want it back. They can't get it back because it's a grant. So they've asked if emergency management would accept it as a resource for the county and utilize it for command post or communications trailer, also as a continuity of operations for even for DMH. I say that this is kind of premature because we still want to get the contract from the grant from where they obtained the camper and also do a memorandum of understanding letter for the board to review outlining what the purpose of the transfer is and our responsibility and their responsibility.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'd like us to be able to ask some questions.
Yes.
Before you spend a lot of effort in doing something that we later on might not approve. I rode out behind the hospital. I assume it's the Coleman Harvey.
The Coleman trailer.
Looks like it's brand new to me, rather than used.
Yes.
Probably a 24-footer, 7-9.
Yes.
And I don't know, was this thing ordered with the command stations and plugs and all that, or has it got bedroom facilities and all? I mean, what do we need it for? I mean, I don't know if you need an RV. You need something that's outfitted for your needs.
Well, it is not outfitted for it.
That's what it is. Nice little getaway.
Well,
we do have a radio system currently.
They have installed a radio system, and I have radios also to install. But it was purchased as a base camping trailer with beds and everything else. And with the idea, or I guess, to outfit it for their needs to install radios and so forth. If I were to accept it, or we were to accept it, and I were to use it, I would install more radios in it, and still in the same spirit of using it for continuity of operations, Iron Horse, you know, with a command post and so forth. But it was purchased as a base track. Brandon?
I was talking to the kid. You don't look good for us in the mouth. Oh, you heard that one?
Okay.
Now, I foresee an ongoing expense of ownership of this truck. First of all, you have to have a contract for somebody to come by and pump up the septic tank about once a week. And then when you buy the RV, that's what we call it now, for a pickup truck. And then we're going to have to put a shelter on it, because in about 2 years it's going to start leaking. So you're going to have an ongoing maintenance cost. And this probably, if you were ordering something for emergency management, this probably would not be the unit you would order.
That's correct.
So I got mixed feelings about it. What are we going to do with it? It'd be nice if we could take it over and park it down here at Hampton Springs, or even have some boat ramps on the way. Do we need it?
No, don't put us in the boat ramp.
Yeah.
People talk about that. Oh, you got that down there, so you can go down there and spend the night.
Yeah.
I don't want that problem.
And we wouldn't be allowed to do that under the grant that they purchased it. It has to be maintained in a public safety type situation, not as a...
So we couldn't use it anywhere else.
I'll tell you what. We have a sheriff, and he just go get it. He may need it for a command station. He's only got four. But he might need it.
Well, that is the purpose of emergency management, is, you know, any of the equipment that we have, any other agency can use it. And if the emergency management would, if we had it, we would have to maintain it. Yes, we would have to pay the insurance on it, and or the county would. And all of those parameters that you said, it would be ideal for it to be under a shelter.
In 16 after the hurricane, would it come in handy down there? Would it come in handy?
It would have, sure. Yes.
In what way?
Well, for communications and with the beds in it, it would have been a.
Did we get to the beds now?
Well, I mean, it is what it is.
Okay, I have a question. Just two or three questions. Why did y'all not want it?
Well, the board felt like it wasn't going to be utilized, and that it could be better used by the county, perhaps.
Okay. So,
you know, we ordered it. Mac had gotten a grant, I think, worked with the grant writer to get it through Big Bend. Primarily a command center for us, but our options to use it would be like at Iron Horse and other things. And the board just felt like it would be better used if it was maybe with EMS in multiple uses. We maybe use it jointly together at the various festivals and stuff as kind of a medical trailer where we could have people in there and stuff. You know, if somebody, you know, passed out or whatever, instead of running them over, we would have the ability to do some things in there and work in conjunction with the county on that. We did actually take it down during the last hurricane and have it down there at the trailer where both fire and that's where I am.
Okay, could it be modified
more on the inside to meet more of the need instead of a travel trailer with beds, more of a station, for lack of a better word.
It could. It would, in a sense, reduce the continuity of operations, which is a mobile and temporary EMS station. And when I spoke to Big Bend Healthcare Coalition, they said the only thing that they wanted to ensure, and all this would need to be in writing, was that it would maintain the spirit of what they got it for as a command post, continuity of operations, which is the continuity of operations is to maintain operations for whatever it is. EMS is a 24-hour day operation. So, we could rip it out, but we would need to, frankly, you know, outline all that in the MOU with the hospital to get it approved by the Healthcare Coalition.
How long is the grant reporting requirements on this? Is it for 10 years and got track this for 20?
I don't. The only thing that the application and again will, according to them, but I don't know the reporting period. The only thing it says is that the hospital has to dispose of it by their, you know, their surplus guidelines, which transferring any property that they have to another county agency is permissible.
Possible for the hospital to sell and keep the proceeds?
No, we looked into that one.
You do it?
No, it has to be in the same realm of EMS or emergency services kind of situation.
You know, on the other side of it, there's a lot of things that you haven't mentioned that it could have been used for, and that's coordination of the activities in the distressed area. And what I mean by that is you've got meals, you've got everything that needs to go out. You got people that need to take accountability of the trash they pick up in the canal. You could have someone stationed there and actually in the area where they work and have them work toward that, even a volunteer. And it would save us a lot of money. I can see pros and cons of both of them. I don't necessarily see the need for beds, if you understand what I'm saying, but communications and a desk or a chair, a computer, and maybe a little microwave that you are.
It already has that in it. Refrigerator stove.
Yeah.
You could possibly fairly easily take out the bed in the front.
Well, you
beds in the back.
You passed out here with last time. You can't stand it. You keep it.
Right.
If you didn't do that, you'd have a place to warm. You know, to keep busy, you'd have power for 8 or 9 days. Some areas there. My name.
Right. I understand.
But I think it would help in that fashion. I think it would do more good than it would harm if we utilize it correctly. Now, as far as a place for it to sit underneath, absolutely that or a metal roof. Is it got a shingle roof now?
No, it's a travel trailer. It's just a regular
plastic or metal. You know?
Plastic.
It's a nice looking rig. Really,
if you keep it cool still, it'll last 100 years because it's unibodied. It's light.
You want us to wait? So you said you got some time to get a memorandum of understanding.
I wanted to bring it before the board, get your thoughts on it, you've given us several concerns, and we'll continue to draw up. If it was a flat no, I wouldn't want to go any further. But if you want me to proceed, come up with a plan on what exactly we would use it for. The sheriff's department has a camper that they use as a command post, and they've taken the beds out and they install radios and those kind of things.
I think it could be an asset. I mean, if you've got a sheriff's station that we'd use as a command post to see that, you have nothing to keep beat. We've talked.
Go ahead.
The sheriff about the old post office area, maybe up here in Chattanooga.
I'll find a place to park it, if that's something he could use, you know, the place the bed is stopping. We like to have a presence up there, but we like to see if he could use something up there.
Why don't you come back with a justification list and present that to us, and in terms of if it's were to be kept, are the shelters out in front of the jail, is that, are they tall enough to back it up in there?
They're covered up with dirt.
Well, actually it's empty, and the sheriff's camper won't go in there. It's too tall, and I haven't checked the height of this new one, whether it would fit under there or not.
It's less than 13 feet, 4 inches.
But it sounds like that there's quite a few ideas, and why don't you go back and y'all brainstorm about that and just come back with justification of why we need it or why we don't need it. And some idea, if we do need it, some idea of the cost.
Well, okay, let me be clear. I never would have purchased this or didn't want it.
I understand.
Okay, so a justification will be, you know, just a guideline of what we will use it for, can use it for.
Well, yeah, I mean, somebody's got to use it, or it's got to sit behind the hospital. You can't give it back to them, and you can't sell it.
And therefore, we'll let it sit behind the hospital.
Yeah, they're
so it's
technically everything we own, you all own anyway.
Okay, I do, absolutely. And again, I didn't want to waste my time if it was, come up with some good ideas on where we could utilize it.
Okay, I make a motion we table number 11 until a later meeting.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. Item number 12, the board to consider bid award for county road striping project as agenda by Hank Evans, Public Works Director.
Motion to approve.
Where is Mr. Evans?
He's not here tonight.
He is concerned with the winter forecast and the ice over on the bridges. That's why he was anticipating being called out at 2. If there are any questions, I am more than happy to answer any of his
concerns. Is he concerned with the fact that this cold weather is going to affect the striping on the roads?
No, sir. As I said, he's concerned with the ice over the bridges. DOT took actions to do some anti-freezing. I asked if he had approached them on some of that, and he didn't. They were unable to assist us with that.
Yeah, that's okay.
He's anticipating having to sand it over in the morning.
That's good planning, but we don't know what's going to happen here.
That's
next
right.
Year.
And you know, we all had the opportunity to read all of this.
I helped him assemble this list. You know, we just took a comparison of, I think, with JPI and Emerald Coast. I think are the two bidders on it.
Yeah.
We looked at a worst case scenario. They are sorted by class of road, whether it was collector or local road. They were next sorted by intensity of usage, whether it was high, moderate, or low. Mm-hmm. And then they were sorted further based on mileage of road, and then sorted even further based on just purely alphabetical. We took those and we looked back at the previous solicitation where we could get actuals to figure out what actual solid or skip or edge lines were. We put those numbers in there. The ones that we didn't have, we took a worst case approach and assumed that the length of the roads would be double striped, and that would give you a conservative worst case. So whereas applying the bid thresholds that they, or the bid categories that they had in there, you could expect, if you awarded this, that you would have a cost that was either at or less than the cost that was on you.
Motion to award the bid.
You're awarded at $261,299.
That is purely the estimate based on the assumptions that I gave you. So we truly anticipate that it's going to be less than that once you start doing actuals.
That was going to be my question.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
Is there striping and then there's other striping? Is there quality or is there DOT specs on striping?
Absolutely.
And that's what we're going to give you, DOT specs.
That's what they were informed. But I didn't help participate with the bidding package. But that's what we would expect us.
Right. I didn't realize how important the problem was, but I was going down Gospel Road in that fall, and you could not see the shoulders, you could see the stripe, and it looks good.
Well, and you'll see in this, there's several categories. That's, you have centerline stripe, edge stripe, and RPMs, which is reflective pavement markers. And we made sure that the collector roads, which are your heavier traveled ones, that's the ones that we pick up the edge lines on and the RPMs. On your lesser traffic local roadways, there we drop off the edge striping and the RPMs just purely as a cost-saving measure. But the heavily traveled ones, we try to make the safe as we could.
What's the life expectancy of striping?
You can see reflectivity on, it's called two-part reactive paint, that'll last 5 to 7 years, something like that. Thermo's going to last a little bit longer, but the cost, the life cycle cost, kind of evens out over the long term. Stop bars and stuff like that, we generally do pavement messages, we do as thermo because they have a little bit of longevity. The centerline stripe and the edge stripe, we usually spec the two reactive components.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Russell. Is there a second? Hold on. Yes? Sorry.
I would like to say, do you remember when we, y'all did the canal doings, and I told you about potential conflicts if your house was on there, and we talked about how many it affected, like it was like 344 on one canal or something like that, and so it really wasn't such that it would be a conflict. Y'all remember me?
Yes.
I remember that.
Okay. All right. And it was really good that they listed this by districts.
Yes.
Okay. And I looked at it and I said, Eddie Page Road and Page Road and so forth. And did y'all look and see if any of these properties were any of your properties were on the respective roads?
Did anybody?
I did.
Okay. I borrowed that road. Those other Page Roads, they were some uncles they were named after.
Yeah, I understand. It was just kind of a red flag to me.
We use the same logic we use with the canals.
Exactly.
A great number of people. I don't think I should have to have a statement just because they have a problem.
No, I don't think you do either, but I just wanted to mention it to you for everybody. It wasn't just you.
That's right.
Commissioner Page. There's four other districts.
Yes. As an abundance of caution.
Now here's the way: if you felt like that, you had property on one of these roads and it was a very sparsely traveled road and it didn't affect anybody but you, what you could do is you could say, "Well, I abstain as to that particular striping on that particular road," which is kind of an exercise and futility type thing. But I just wanted to mention that to all of y'all.
I think I'll abstain just in the abundance of caution. But I did have a question.
Well, now, if you do that and I do that and anybody else that has property on here, we won't be able to pass this.
Well, I'll just abstain as the next page group.
I would only suggest it's probably a moot point given the fact that the county's already made an investment to pave that road.
Yeah,
strike. So this is purely a maintenance aspect.
Maintenance aspect.
I can tell you that they are not going to do anything about it because I had an ethics complaint filed on me on the road that I live on. You know, the city of Grand Rapids.
Yes,
yeah. And you got to have 85% your value, or they won't do nothing about it.
I don't own 85% of that property. But I would abstain at payment. But I want to ask one more question.
Is that the threshold? Is 85%?
That's what it
material
was.
Ownership or
that's what
benefit
it was
before
material ownership on both sides of the road.
I'm thinking about it for if we do improvements on other roadways. That would kind of be a threshold I can use.
85%.
Okay. Sorry.
I'm not an expert in assessing roads and which one needs to be striped and which one can be left off. So I reached out to LaWanda and to Hank, and I said, now I turned in a list of roads. I'm fearful that I left off some roads that maybe should rank higher. And I verbally authorized them to change whatever they felt it needed to be. I'd rather rely on professional advice. Our county road person and our engineer. Now, if we submit this list with this bid package, at a later date, is any harm if we discover we've been preparing, you want to switch one road for another?
That's right.
Not staying under that cap.
Agreed. And just sitting on this side of the bench versus that one, I would say as long as your suggestion is for don't take this wrong, legitimate reasons and not personal reasons.
Okay.
You know, if you say, if we say road A versus road B, and you come in and say, well, I'd like you to look at road B again because the severity of those stripes, you know, they're faded completely, we just can't use that. That's a legitimate issue. Right. You come in and say, you know, look, I've gotten three complaints on this road, you need to put this one in front of that one. You know, the science is behind it. So I would tell you no, but okay. I'm sure you would expect that.
Okay, well, there's one road in my district that is on the list, but I did not ask for that road to be done. I didn't go to anybody and say, strike this road, and I didn't coerce anybody into putting that road on the list, and I did not know it was on the final list. So I can honestly say that I think I'm okay to vote on this.
In each of y'all's defense, we look at it as you guys make the policy decision or the legislative decision of, okay, here's some money appropriations, it's time to do some maintenance striping, and leave it at that. Once you get to that point, it should be your technical staff's responsibility to take and say, I think these are the roads the appropriate ones to do.
Right.
You kind of get out of the decision at that point, and you put your faith in the people
that's
that you hire.
That's what we
did. I want to call for a question.
You have a second?
We don't have a second.
I
made the motion first before Mr. Russell made
it. Motion and motion,
Constitution,
motion and second.
Okay. Yes. You made the first motion.
Okay. Yeah, early in the, before the conversation.
Tell me your motion.
My motion was that we approve this, this request.
Okay, so we have a motion. Now is there a second?
Got a second.
Okay. Got a second.
Already got one.
When you make the motion after that, that's actually a second.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay, thank you.
We have a question called for now.
All right, we have a motion by Commissioner Page, a second by Commissioner Russell. Now, any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
I abstain from any paid road. Aye for all the other roads. Got another?
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. Item 13. The board to consider options concerning construction of the Steinhatchee Boat Ramp Public Restrooms building as agenda by Kenneth Dudley, County Engineer.
So in your packet, we gave you the information that has the history of when we solicited in October, when we resolicited in November, and our actions that we've taken since that time, kind of reaching out to some other contractors to try and to get an order of magnitude to see if the bid was within the realm of reason or, you know, if there was a possibility to actually construct this at a much cheaper cost. As we put in the agenda, you can see that the bid from, I think it was RWB, what's the name, and was right at $124,000. The bid that we reached out, it was from Gray Construction, which was the one who was responsible for the renovations at the Forest Capitol Hall. I knew they were right along in the lines of this, and they're out of Trenton. Their bid, their informal quote, came back in at 131. So, you know, it kind of makes you think, all right, well, maybe the cost is what the cost is. After you see something that's outside of the bidding framework. So, in light of that, what we did is we put in the agenda four different options for the board to consider, and we ranked those options in what we considered an order of preference. The first being probably the most obvious is with the bid that we received of $124,000 and the funding that we have available, make up that difference. That difference is just under $50,000. We gave you three different funding sources if that was the option that you chose, one being the 3rd cent tourism tax. There's $55,000 in that cost center. The other is the Florida Boating Improvement Program, Reserve for Capital Improvements. There is $50,000 in that account. And then lastly would be your general fund reserve for capital improvements, and the balance in that is just under $1.5 million. The second option that we suggested was that you formally return the bid information back to FWC and tell them that, you know, we understand that we solicited for the grant original grant in this amount. We went through the process of soliciting for bids, and those bids came back this at this level. We then reached out for informal bids, and they come in, you know, very close and similar. So is there any possibility for FWC either now in this fiscal year or in the adjacent fiscal year, that being after July, to make up that difference through the grant funding based on the bids that we received? You know, will it be successful? I don't know. Will it be the same general concept of a of the grant where you have the 50-50 match? Probably.
Yes. Sorry. Yeah, one mistake.
I know. I saw it. That was before I looked at the cost center. The mistake is under number two. The bid, whereas the match is, it's written as 24,401. It would be actually 24,868 if that's what you're referring to.
No, the third set tourism development tax is actually dedicated, according to the TDC committee that I sit on, is dedicated to Forest Capitol Hall. And the fourth and fifth cent is for the infrastructure of the county to increase tourism. And there's $67,000 each. One of them generates $67,000 each a year.
Yeah, you know more about than I do. I took information.
I don't think that we could use the third cent because that's dedicated to Forest Capitol. Well, Commissioner Pickle's been working on that. If you don't need it, we'll use it. But if you do need it, we'll take the fourth and fifth cent and build a bathroom.
And you said there was 60 something in each of the fourth and cent? Fourth and fifth?
$67,000, that's what they collect each year, I think.
Yeah, I would have to. I defer.
And don't we have some money in the Florida Voting Improvement Fund?
Yes, sir. I referenced that one as line item two. Yeah. That was a $50,000 balance.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And that one.
So how much extra money do we need with what we got to the grant?
$49,736 is what we're showing
so
to
we
award the bid.
So if we split it half and half, it'd be $25,000 profit.
Yeah, and we were leaning along those same lines of thought. Is, you know, it's a tourism-generated site, and FBIP is directly related.
10,000 people a year use that, what they say, that program. I know they don't pay for it, they use it.
Why don't you go ahead and give us the rest of the options?
Anyway, I've gone through the first two. The third one is to attempt to self-build the project using county inmate labor. This one, using the inmate labor squads. What I would suggest to you is that if you do choose this option, is that you commit to allocating that resource until the project is finished. If you recall, Melody was successful in getting an extension to, I want to say it's June 30th, right? Melody? Yeah, June 30th, 2018. That means that if our inmate squad was to get down there and try to build this thing, they need to stay there in order to finish it within that time frame. Unfortunately, as luck would have it, the skill level of the current inmate squads is lacking. So that's an additional reason of why you need to go ahead and commit them, because it's going to take more time than it would be had skill level. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yes.
The last one, of course, is the one that we probably none of us want to accept, and that is to take the grant we have today and return it back to FWC, citing reasons of insufficient funds, and reapply in a subsequent year based upon the bids that we received. So that's our four that we're suggesting. Make the difference, request additional funding from FWC, self-build it using a committed county labor, which means other jobs need to wait until they're finished, and then fourth, turn the grant back in.
If we were to ask on the number two option,
yes, ma'am.
How long, approximately, how long would that take? Does it take them a long time to get back with us with an answer?
I will defer to Mel because she has much more professional relationship with these people. She gets answers pretty quick, but I'm not sure with this.
Do you have an idea? We would have to apply for a new grant in the upcoming funding cycle. And due to budget shortfalls that they have currently at this time, we're still waiting for our contract from the last time we were awarded the grant for the document improvement project.
So you're talking considerable time then.
You're looking at 2.5 years,
yeah,
probably.
You're gonna throw them around the scarf savings over here before we get
yeah,
here.
Okay.
Madam Chairperson, I'll offer you a motion. That we take half the money from the FWC project and half of it from the third and fourth city.
The fourth and fifth?
The fourth and fifth, yeah, I get it in a second. I had it written down here. Well, I don't know.
I think that's what you said, because I had referenced the third.
Yeah, the fourth and fifth city.
So equal parts of fourth and fifth, and then
that's right.
The second half on FBIP?
Split it down the middle.
If that's...
And then award the bid to the low bidder. I'll put that in form of a motion.
We have a motion on the table. Is there a second?
I'm second.
Thank you.
There's a question I got.
Yes, sir.
When the sewage group down there, they were going to give up. Did you talk to them about getting a free grinder pump and all for that restroom?
That was the reason for siding the restroom building across the street, adjacent to the picnic pavilion, versus on the south side of the road, was to alleviate the concerns for the access to the force main for the sewer, so that they could do that.
It's readily available. I'm sorry.
They gave one for the sheriff's department trailer building there. I think they furnished around the pump for that, where it wouldn't cost that very any money.
What they did, they gave us one for that building there that we got used, and they're going to allow us to utilize that and the water of it, so it doesn't cost us any
good.
Go ahead.
I don't have the pipe.
For information purposes.
Which side are we going to put?
Hold on. We've got somebody that has the floor.
The motion was to split the difference. $25,000 from road improvement money and from some bed tax money. Split. And now we've heard that the bed tax money may already have been committed to Forest Capital Hall.
The third.
I would be more comfortable if we just took all the money out of the voting improvement.
The fourth and fifth set cannot be committed to Forest Capital Hall. It's got to be done on infrastructure and for the area to increase tourism. That's why I said take it out of that. Have you read that? Have you looked at that? Aaron, you know that for a fact. Mm-hmm. You said on that.
It's a county ordinance that was passed by the previous administration.
Right.
Policy, I would recommend review it to the state. I'll have a good agreement.
So what we would be doing is roughly 12,500 out of the fourth, 12,500 out of the fifth, and then 25 out of FBIP.
That's fine.
I think
that's
what you're suggesting.
I don't know. Okay, we take it out of the voting improvement.
Let's take it out of the voting improvement. I can second the motion. Or I'll vote for it.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
I understand we got infrastructure down at Forest Capital Hall. We did complete that paving and all this kind of stuff. If we got that down there, we need $125,000 for the septic tank to go faster. We need $100,000 to run to get some jobs in town. Looks like all of them is about equal and four. I don't see if we will beat one down and do another. Let's make a consensus decision. Do what's right and supply them all. And if we could take $25,000 out of one, $25,000 out of another, and make it right, let's do it. Now, we do need jobs until the time they want to rain on, we're going to do what we can to get a job. But we don't need to beat people down because the job don't come like you want.
So what's your recommendation, Commissioner?
I'll say the DEP, I think it's the voting?
FBIP, Florida Voting Improvement Program.
Mm-hmm. Okay, take it from that.
That's what we're talking about.
Why wouldn't we take part of out of the tourism infrastructure and operation? I mean, because you can't spend it at Forest Capital. If you can't do it, it's not there.
Why can't we do it?
Okay, let's do this. Let's do this. Right at this moment, we have a motion by Commissioner Russell that we're going to take, that he would like to take half out of the fourth and fifth, and then the other half out of the... Right, and then we had a second. It seems like there's three of us probably not going to vote for that. Now, should we should we go ahead and vote, or just say we're not going to take this?
You got to vote on it.
Okay.
You gotta
let's go ahead and vote on that. Everybody that wants to do it that way. So, all in favor, say aye.
Guys.
I have a motion. All in favor for Commissioner Russell's motion and Commissioner Moody's say aye.
I go on it.
Swift.
It's a matter of fraud, theater, fake ball.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
It's no exact science there.
So you're saying now that you don't want to take it out of the voting improvement, all of it?
I go along with what?
You want to split it?
Yeah.
You have that.
Say again?
I split it.
Between the fourth and fifth?
Whatever the motion was.
That's right.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you.
And since we get put precise on this tourism vote, that though, I want to see if I can get the lady downstairs to tell me where the tax dollars is. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Item 14, the board can consider approval of the Taylor County Multi-Year Implementation Plan for submission to the Department of Treasury as agenda by the Grants Director.
There was a 45-day process that we had to advertise the Multi-Year Implementation Plan, as we previously discussed. During that time, we received a public comment, which I provided a copy of, from Dr. Hutchins, and he had also copied Mr. Bishop on that originally. And the second comment we received actually was from Aaron Portwood, and he caught two mistakes that we had on the original copy he provided you. On that, we reflected a county match of 14%, and it was actually 1.4%. We left off the dot, and the other was a carry forward balance when we get to do it, the Dark Island dredging. That's the only comments we received. Comments were received by my office, County Administrator's office, and by Langton and Associates, and no other comments were received. So we are recommending moving forward with the submission of it for canal dredging. Just as a recap, we're eligible to receive $4,076,136.56 over a 15-year period.
Motion.
We have a motion by Commissioner Russell. Is there a second at this time?
No second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Russell. And the second by Commissioner Dempse. Any further discussion?
Discussion.
Yes.
Mr. Lake.
Yes, sir.
You read this latest document?
I have.
All right. Does it pass muster with you?
It does. Yes, sir.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you.
Madam Chairperson, let me take a little bit of a break. Just 5 minutes.
Yes, we have a commissioner asking for a 5-minute break, so we'll be back at 7:10.
I'll be right back. I'll take a minute.
I want to thank you, Pastor Peeler, but thank you publicly. We really appreciate you being here to lead us in prayer. And just because you came one time doesn't mean you can't come again. So if any time that you'd like to come, if you'll get with LaWanda, we'd love to have you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you staying tonight, too.
Yes,
ma'am. Well, $5 to see the show, isn't it? More than that.
I hope so. If we go through this, you pray with us and pray for us.
Amen.
There you go.
Beautiful, but this
correct place for
what's
it here.
I'm sorry, I can't remember her name. Not the second.
Cindy.
What's her name? Is,
Cindy.
Cindy
Moore.
Yes, Miss Moore.
Just the
how beautiful that is. We really appreciate
she
that.
Did
her.
She loved it. She drew it.
She took those photos.
Photographs.
Yes. Yeah, it's beautiful.
And wasn't that in all those compensated county?
Yeah.
All those butterflies.
Real pretty.
Mr. Feagle, she wanted it mounted up there, but that's just carpet.
Yes. So we weren't able to. I right here. That was a good location. Everybody can see it there.
More eyelid.
Okay, I think we're ready to resume. So at this time, we will go to the general business. Item 15, the board to discuss roll-off site operations as agenda by Chairman Feagle and Commissioner Page. You want to start?
I'll start, or I can let you start.
You go ahead, then I'll go.
All right. I have received in the last couple of weeks more phone calls about Harrison Blue roll-off issues than I've received on any item of business come forward the board since the power plant. That's that bad. People are upset, and they don't know what to do. We close the walk-in gates. I can give them a reason for that. They don't like the fact that you can't get in the back of the truck and hand the garbage out to the wife. She called me in the roadboat. She hopped in the back of the truck and handed the garbage to her husband, who had his feet on the ground, put it in the compactor, and she got her butt chewed out. There's a friendly way, Gary, you can do this stuff. I think we need to take an approach. We're going to educate the folks. The sign says, don't get in the back of the truck or the trailer. And citizens tell me, you can't tell me I can't get in the back of my pickup truck. What if I have a flat tire when I leave the roll-off site down there on Harrison Blue Road and I've got to change my tire? You telling me I can't get in the back of the truck and get my jack out and make something up? And they call the road stupid? And I said, well, I can't use that word, but he won't think I won't. I can't justify it. Because you have one accident that somebody gets hurt, to just want to make a blanket rule, a knee-jerk reaction to me is just wrong. And there's a bunch of people upset about it. And then you can top out, you compound that with all the roll-off stickers that are going out, stopped today. Half the people have lost their information. And, you know, I tell them, well, you go down here, play with Melinda, she's got a computer, she can pull up and see if you paid $140. And I don't think it's any big deal. But something is wrong, Gary, at the roll-off site. And I can't say it in the car on that without hurting the attendant's feelings. I think it'd be nice if you said, the sign says, don't get in the back of the truck, because you might get hurt. Can I help you get that garbage out of there? Can I take my rake and get it out for you? You know, use an educational process. But what really ticks off the public is when they're told, all right, you go ahead and you hop up there, and I'm going to get you a tag number, and I'm going to turn you over to somebody. And I get questioned, what you going to do with me? I said, I'm not going to do anything with you. It's just not user-friendly, and it needs to be fixed. I'm saying
okay,
enough.
My turn. I've had a lot of calls, too. And it started out with, well, everything really, but the feet on the ground. And people calling me, they're so irate that they said, you know, you got a big truck. How can I, if I've got a refrigerator or something up there, how am I going to pull that off of my truck from the ground? And how ridiculous it is. And they're cussing out the roll-off attendants. Then they're calling me and giving me a I know at least one other commissioner from what you just said, a hard time. And it's not the roll-off attendant's fault. I stand behind the roll-off attendants. They're only doing what they've been instructed to do. And then when you're asking, telling people, if you go ahead and do it, I'm going to take your tag number. But this enrages me. It insults people. And my question was, what are we going to do with them? We get their tag number, we make them mad, now what are we going to do then? We've not treated these citizens the way that I expect them to be treated. And this policy and procedure needs to be changed. Today, I got three calls this morning from people that said they didn't get their letter and they were going to come up here. One was way down at Not All Guys. He said, I'm not driving up there. I'll dump it out there anyway if they won't let me dump it. So we've got problems with that. But the whole thing is 99% of the problems that we get here are from solid waste. And I have put solid waste and roll-offs on the agenda. I don't even know how many times. This has to be fixed. And I don't know how any planner to say it. I think we've been as nice as we could be. And if we can't fix it, then we need to find somebody else that can fix it. And I don't want to be forced to make a motion that I don't want to make over roll-off issues. But the rubber is hitting the road, and if we can't fix it, I'd say, board, let's hire somebody that can fix it. Period. I'm tired of all these calls over something like a roll-off that we do not have people that can fix. This is not right for the citizens. And again, I want to be real clear that I'm not blaming the roll-off attendants. It is not their fault. I think they're getting bad direction. I think there's policies and procedures that are put in place that nobody knows about except for Gary Rumbaugh. And then we get a call about it. No, I don't know anything about that. I call administration. No, I've never heard of that. Well, then where did this come from? Why do we have such a policy and procedure? For instance, you can't bring but one load on the weekend. How ridiculous is that? So, we got to fix it. You'll get your time. We got to fix it, or we got to find somebody that can fix it.
When you get, yeah, it is that first. When you get to
the let the commissioners talk first. Go ahead, Commissioner Russell.
Now, the reason why they had so many calls is them 46 people that called me, and then I wrote the number down. I said, call Pam and call them out.
I bet you got this would be the calls that we got.
I got a lot of calls.
I don't know who told you to put feet on the ground, but there was no reason to say anything about that because you got one person out of 20 that are getting the back of the truck to try to get a refrigerator out, to try to get something out. And there's no reason to have a rule that says, well, you can't get up and do that. You can have a rule if you are a large item you want to unload. Ask the attendant to help you. You can put a sign saying that. But if they ask them, feet off the ground, that's ridiculous. And something else, we got the city. These decals are supposed to cure the city. Have you issued any permits to anybody other than the people that has the letter?
Supposedly not.
No, I'm asking you a question. Not supposedly. It's either yes or no.
No, not that I know.
You have not given any permits to anybody.
Now we have. We have at this office.
I have. But to where?
If people come in and they have lost their letter, then we look.
Have you given it to any city residents?
Not that I know of. We check and make sure the assessment has been charged.
Okay. But I've had, Steen Hatch. You know, I get a ration, I get 20 calls. That feet on the ground thing really, really, y'all think y'all got some calls. I got some people down there, they're country people, they don't mind what they say either. They'll tell you straight up. That feet on the ground thing, I got a bunch of calls now. First, I want to thank you for fixing the compact, for getting it in good shape. It is, it looks nice, better than several of them. But we have areas that you need to get with the administrator and you need to ask his guidance on what to do in order to correct these things. And then let him give you written directives in order for what you do. Otherwise, I'm like Commissioner Peeble, then we need to replace Gary Wong. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Do you?
I'm being honest with you.
And I'm going to explain where this came from if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Since it's a direct.
Well, hold on just a minute.
I'm just sorry.
Are there any other commissioners first?
Yeah, I've got calls. that was glad that we finally are getting, bit the bullet and going to put out the cards and the stickers to stop people from out of town. I've got more calls in that direction than I have. I've got the same call y'all had about thinking about. But that's a question to our attorney needs to answer. Are we liable that somebody gets in the back of that truck and they fall out on the asphalt and bust their neck?
I think what the genesis of that was a lawsuit that happened a while back. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that the Commissioner Page and I went to that mediation.
We've been mentioned on that part, though.
And I think we may have been advised to do that by the insurance company.
There was a risk assessment by the insurance company.
That's where that came from.
That's because they stepped on the rubber that fell through, wasn't it?
Well,
I think they stepped on the glass.
That's what I thought.
Fell in. Rubber flat. But
there's another story about that too. Now, if you knew the truth, that $40,000 should have been.
Okay, here, if you want to come forward.
Absolutely. Since my name's been brought in here, I'm going to go ahead and clean this up.
I hope so.
I will. Frank was right on the. He was right on the insurance. They did a risk assessment of the last lawsuits we got, people falling in there. And the insurance company basically said, these are the things you need to do. Jack Brown, Dustin, and Marcella was on that. I was not there. And they gave us a list of the sign and verbiage to put at these sites and the rules to follow. That wasn't Gary's rule. Gary did not have any input on that. Now, prior to that, we had three guys fall in 3 months. And the witnesses that they interviewed, two of them had fell in the month before. So they had to make an effort to clean this up. Now, when they did the verbiage, the signs there, the signs have been there for 4 years with this tree on the ground.
At the roll-off?
At the roll-off sites. They have been there for 4 years.
On the hill or at the compactor?
On the hill. The compactor itself, if you notice, the new one's got a lip on it. Have you noticed that, Frank? And the reason is OSHA does not want anything close to that. So what happens if they get into the back of the truck, they're higher than the compactor. That's the OSHA law. I mean, I didn't make that up. And we're just trying to keep the county from being, you know, in a financial burden as far as lawsuits. Now, if you guys want to change the rule, that's fine. But I didn't make any of these rules. This was all handed to me. So I just reacted to what I was told.
Did OSHA or whoever say get the person's tag number and what to do with the tag
number? I never told them to get a tag number. What I told them, if a person gets irate, when you ask them, just let them go.
Nobody from the county ever told a roll-off attendant to get the tag number?
If he gets verbal with him, we've done that in the past. If somebody gets verbal and irate with them, yes, get the tag number. Or we can stop that.
How are you going to stop it with the tag number?
If we go in there and we had a woman come in down there at Blue Springs and threatened the roll-off attendant, we called the sheriff's department. We've called them before to come down there and ask them not to. You can't threaten a roll-off attendant. That's not right.
Well, my calls didn't start coming in until we implemented the rule at the compactor. You can't pop up in the back of your truck and get your 2 or 3.
Right.
And whatever you got. It gets it over there. Or hand it to you, like one lady, she got in the back of the truck and hand it to her husband. And then put it in. The calls didn't start coming in, and then we started.
Compact.
And trying to enforce it that level. And you get. Frank said, the folks down the scene, they'll tell you like it is.
I'm getting calls too now.
She said, he got on my case about my pickup truck, me call off all these Christmas wrapping papers. And I dished it back to him just as good as he dished it out to me. then I heard the rest of the story. But there's a friendly way that you can implement the rule. And I think Commissioner Pickett suggested.
And I agree. And when
be nice to people.
And I agree.
We really don't want you in the back of that truck. Let me help you get it out.
And you do know we had a guy call in recently, didn't you?
Nowhere.
Where?
Call in for
Bernard Jones. Fell in a container. Okay.
Out of a trailer.
Out of a trailer.
He was standing in a trailer. Mm-hmm. On the hill. Mm-hmm. That's got nothing to do with the compactor. Though.
Right. I agree.
You're not begging you to do something.
I'm open to any suggestions because I'm getting the call.
Well, I've asked every one of these people to call me. You tell me how to fix it. Yes, no, but you'd be thinking, praying about it. I don't know what I'm getting you to do.
And if you guys want to say just stop them with the compactor, that's fine. You know, let them crawl in the back. It's okay with me. I mean, I'm just trying to do what you guys requested, or Jack and Dustin did prior. And it's been there for 4 years.
You know what would be better? If you... with the somewhere on top down and make you a hook.
They got one.
Well,
in a roll off. And
got a rake? I got a tater rake out there.
Well, a tater rake.
They got rakes in the roll off.
You were there when they did it. I think Ted pulled up and attended.
Yeah, I pulled up one. I mean, I was there. The lady pulled up, jumped in the back of the truck. Timmy says, "Ma'am, would you please, you know, be on the ground?" She said, "Okay." She said, "Here's a rake." She raked all the trash up the back of the truck and got it out. There's no issue with her. But.
Let's just be a little bit nicer and quit that tag number business. And quit this business about they get in the argument with the citizen. And the citizen said, "Well, I'm going to see my county commissioner. He's my neighbor, and he lives right down the road. I'm going to his house," which I haven't had people do. And the attendant says, "Well, you just go ahead and do what you want to." I don't want to be drug into these arguments.
I agree.
And it can be handled at the level, at the railroad side. And it needs to be, again, I'll say, it needs to be an educational process. Come on, bring your trash. We'd rather have it here at the dumpster than thrown out here in public timber and land and woods. And we bring it, you see the sign. We don't want you to be in the truck because you might get hurt. But anyway, let me help you get it. I got a tater right here. You quit this foolishness about the tag number.
The truth of the matter is, you've got some kind of manual with Jack and Dustin and prior to them, and they wrote for you to operate the roll-off sites?
They gave us a list of the signs to get.
No, you had operational procedures.
Well, we got a handbook, but the roll-off attendants, I think it's in there that they put in there.
You need to take a look at that.
Okay.
And I'm just telling you, because I've seen one. You need to take a look at it.
Okay.
A lot of your problems can be eliminated right there.
And that's fine. And like I say, these rules that are out there, Gary didn't make the first one of them up. And if I did, I would probably put a rule in I get a raise every month. But I haven't. You know what I'm saying?
You did for a while, didn't you?
Yeah. I think 4 months in a row. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm just saying, these rules I didn't come up with, or none of this. So if we need to look at it, we need to look at everything.
And I agree. And that was one thing that I was going to talk about too. I'd like to have a copy of the solid waste roll-off policy and procedure. And I would suggest that every commissioner get a copy of their policy and procedure. I want to read every word of your policy and procedure starting tomorrow and see if there's anything in there that maybe I can come up with a suggestion, and all of us together try to fix this thing. Another thing is attendants shouldn't be telling our constituents, "Well, it's your county commissioner." County commissioner didn't do it. County commissioner didn't tell them to get your tag number, and they're like, "What are they going to do, put me in jail?" No, that's not going to happen. So I don't like that any roll-off attendant would say, "Well, we were told to tell you to call your county commissioner." I don't know where that came from. But again, I think that the roll-off attendant is doing what he's been told to do. I don't fault them at all. But could we get those copies? I'd like mine tomorrow.
I think she's got the call.
And let's look at that and see.
I'd like mine as soon as I can get it. I'm going to memorize
it. I got it all memorized, so.
I know you do. Anyway, I appreciate it. And the reason you should look at it is because if there is something up there, it should be fixed. I mean,
the only thing though, if there's something in there that goes against what the insurance company told us to implement, then we're liable. We're liable in all the taxpayers of Taylor County.
And what happened was, when we had all these people falling into containers, the insurance assessment, he came in And he went out there with Marcella and I think Dustin, I don't think Jack went. And they walked through several sites. Carlton was one of them, and then they went to, I think, Bernard Johnson. They went to two or three of them. And they came back with a plan and basically just gave us a list of the verbiage we need to put up at the sites and says, this is what we're going to do. There was more. They added more, and then they took some away because they figured out it just wasn't going to work like they thought.
I can tell you the insurance adjuster that was there, he got a copy of what he said.
Absolutely, and he was, he honestly was surprised that we were at ground level with the roll-off with the containers at that time.
We could get some prep gaffles. I could use to pull a fish in the boat.
I got them, and yeah. I got them on paint poles,
right,
with a big hook.
And they can pull the trash out the back of the truck from the tailgate mm-hmm. with it. And they could actually pull a ice box out with that.
Good.
You know.
All sides have.
Yeah. But the ice box wouldn't fall over in the dumpster. We've still got folks that won't be able to back up to the dumpster. So I can flip the old ice box out the back.
Yeah, I do.
And top over, now that's a settled issue up there on the hill. The hill is cut down for insurance purposes and safety reasons. And you're going to drive up parallel. And they said, well, if I got a 100-pound log, I'll throw it over the back of my truck. And I can't get in the truck to get it out. How am I going to reach over the side of the truck to pick it up? I don't know. You think about that before you carry a 100-pound log off.
Well, he needed to set it near the tailgate. All he had to do was slide it out, stand it up. And then
well, I had a guy approach him. He was irate and said, my grandfather can't get his stuff out of his truck. And I said, who helped him load it? And he said, I did. I said, well, you should go to the dump to help him.
Yeah.
I said, you know, you can't send an 80-year-old man down there to pull out a washing machine.
And you can't expect some of our tenants to help him with an iPod.
Some of them are 80 years old.
You're liable yourself again for a back injury or something. I mean, there's some of those people down there that's just not able to handle an iPod or a washing machine or a recliner or a big mattress. You know, there's some issues there, but we're going to have to follow the insurance company's guidelines with whatever we come up with, or we're putting ourselves in a bad position.
I want to read those insurance guidelines. I've heard them referenced for years. I never read anything, I don't think.
Nothing is going to cure the problem that I see unless they have some direct supervision for each of the employees. Let me talk about mine first.
Okay.
My face is hurt, so I ain't going to talk very much. Terrible. But you have got trainers, people, to have some type of personality.
That's it. That's it.
And let me tell you.
Hey, wait a minute.
Okay, go ahead.
If they don't have a personality, if you want your job, then you'll get rid of it. Because the next time you come up here, it ain't going to be like that. And I'm telling you the truth. I mean, those people call me all the time. They call me. And I've let mine slide. I haven't said anything you have a list like. I've let mine slide. I haven't said anything. I had people complain about Blue Creek, complain about a lot of it. He has got complain about Salem, ask for the gate to be open, had Ray Morgan writing letters to the paper.
Yeah.
You know, wanting more hours, wanting to compare it with Ikepina. And I said, no, I'm not even going to answer his letter because that's unfair. But there has to be some training with those people that meet the public. Because if you have one meet the public, he said, you know, you get your feet off the ground, I'm going to write your tag number. That happens too now. I'm not telling you to tell you.
Oh, I ain't got one.
I'm not going to tell you, but I know it happened because the guy stopped me at the gate shelter.
So let me ask this. When a guy gets in the back of a truck and he's cussing out the attendant, what do we do?
I said, what did you do when he was in the back of the truck? He said, what could I do? He said, that man bigger than I am.
But what do I tell him?
It's hard to believe that a person will come up there and just start cussing out the roll-off attendant for no reason. As I said before, people are insulted. They're irate. Well, when they're told, we're going to take your tag number.
Well,
or do this or you do that.
Well, they're already irate when you close the walk-ins. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was not very popular.
And from that point on, it's kind of went south. So when anything new, they say, well, you need to do this. Now, if you don't think that then people will get verbal with the attendance, am I right?
I'll make a comment. They're going to be nice when I'm there. Your attendance or the public, whatever, for the most part. I've been visiting the sites. I've been to every one of them. I went, this happened, in fact. And I think we've got some decent employees out
there. We do.
That's some rare good.
And
it's funny. As good as you can get, actually.
The heavy bags. I mean, the man was helping the people out. I helped grab the bags out back of the truck. One of them must have been loaded bricks. It was amazing. But anyway, I think for the most part, we've got good employees out there. I think for the most part, we got good citizens.
I agree.
So, you know, we got these bad eggs that we'll have to deal with, employees and citizens both. Do they need training? Yes. They need me and you both to be going out there in business, certainly.
I've always been an advocate of employee training, at least annually. And we've talked about that before, you know, of having that training. But, you know, we get cussed out too.
Huh.
I get cussed out. Every one of us get cussed out, especially when they come from your home office.
I get cussed
out. And so, you know, and that's part of the job. That's just part of the job. It's going to happen. You're going to have people that's going to be like that. And we have to remain, anybody that's employed with the county, including us, are expected to have a level of professionalism. And we should set that standard and stick to it. Just because somebody cusses off our roll-off attendant or whoever doesn't give them the right then to do the same thing. I think we have to set the standard. And it begins at the top.
Well, I've been cussed out, threatened to be beat and shot. And have you had any complaints on me cussing anybody out or going?
Never.
Never. I sit there and just take it like a week and just walk off. But the roll-off sites, basically, I haven't made the first rule of these sites. So whatever you guys want to do.
You need to go back and make one by tomorrow. It's all right.
Now, Gary, that upsets me more than anything you've said there all night.
What's that?
That you haven't made any rules. How long have you been out there?
Well, I've been out there 7 years.
They should be your rules.
They're not mine.
Not no one else's.
They're not my. That handbook was given to me by two county
employees. That doesn't make it right.
Well, I got to follow what that says, don't I, or don't I?
Not necessarily. You can make a recommendation to this board. This board can.
Well, and I looked through it, and I went through it, and everything I see in there looks. You guys look at it and see.
I don't look at it.
You don't like it?
There's some things in it I would change.
Okay. Well, that's good then.
I mean, there's some things in
it. There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't like the comment that says, it's not my fault. I don't make the rules. Because that's what roll-off attendants are telling people. Call your county commissioner.
Well,
not my fault. I don't make the rules. And I don't blame the roll-off attendants. But you know what? This is our top man over here. You work for him. You don't work for us. You two should be together and say, hey, you know what? We have a lot of roll-off issues. The county commissioners are bringing that up frequently. We come to the meeting and we talk about it. And then a month or two later, hey, it's on the agenda again. And we come back and we talk about it, and nothing gets fixed. And I expect you two to sit down and go over it and look at all the problems that we have outlined. And y'all are smart enough, come back with some good solutions that we can try to implement to make the citizens happy, get them off of my back, and we'll get off of your back.
But I'm going to have to jump off and say something.
Okay, one more thing. What you said. This is a true story. If I didn't have any complaints from the garbage department and animal control, I wouldn't have a few complaints on the road. And it'd only be when it's rained and rained and rained. That's a true story. And I've told you that, Alex. But I haven't.
Mr. Lake.
The roll-off sites are your most immediate one-on-one with the citizens, just about.
Exactly.
I mean, if a firefighter answers a fire, the citizen's not going to talk firefighter while he's holding the hose, or in jail, they're not going to talk correctional officer. This is a one-on-one experience with the citizens. I think we've been making improvements. I mean, to say we haven't made any improvements, I think we have. I mean, we took away the walk-ins. I think that was improved. We took away the cans.
I can demonstrate the volume has come down. I don't want to make it public. The volume's come down a little bit. I've been out visiting all the sites. I've been out talking to the employees, getting ready for the cars. In our office today, we got a stack of those letters about like that. I went up front and looked. Citizens have been coming in, getting their cards. Your roll-off attendance hasn't been heavy because I think the weather, the temperatures, but they've got a few. I said, you have any problems? No, no problems. One lady and her husband dumped their trash, roll-off attendant. This was up in Chevy Grove. They said, you couldn't pick up your card.
I got 13.
Yeah, my Chevy Grove roll-off is fine.
Anyway, the couple pulled up and said, well, you know, we asked them, you got your cards? Yeah, well, we're supposed to get cards. Yes, yes, ma'am. When you have that letter, bring it. You know, we'll give you a card. That letter, you have seen the tax bill? She said, I didn't even look through it. I said, I'll go home and find that letter and bring it to you. So I think, you know, we've been stressing to them. We've got a month of transition. We're going to get these cards. So I think we've been making improvements. I think to say we haven't done any improvements is kind of disingenuous.
Okay.
I think we've been making improvements. Do we have a long way to go? Probably so.
Well, it sounds like we need to go on to the next agenda item. And I'm all sure right. That everything's going to be fixed, and we're going to have this conversation right. Again.
Well, let's not go to the next one yet, because we have some questions we want that we're going to get to about. We're getting in Dylan's letters and cards, we're getting some questions. One of the main questions is, what if I need more than one sticker? I've got 2, 3, 4 vehicles. I need to get some guidance on how to handle that. I've talked to a couple of you. We seem to think maybe there should be a charge for extra stickers. I don't know how y'all feel about that. We don't want people just coming up and say, I need 4 more stickers, and okay, here you go. I'd like to have them have some way of accountability to provide those.
I can tell you how the Hunt Club has done for the last 20 years. If you get a new truck and you need a new sticker, you buy a sticker. We sell them another sticker. And that's what the Hunt Club all over the county do it. And if you got 2 trucks or 3 cars or whatever, you buy a sticker for each one of them. You get one when you join. But you have to buy the rest of them.
Charge for them. There'll be less people asking to look at
that. Yeah, I feel the same way.
I'll tell you that. I flat out will not vote for that because then my phone will ring off the hook again.
Well, you got to run it as a business or it'll go in
the
house.
But how much does a card cost? Come on.
A sticker's, that's not the...
It's not worth 50 calls for me every week for a 3 cents card.
Well, if you give a bunch of cards out, you're going to end up on some people's cards that don't have them. If they haven't paid for it, they're not going to give it to their cousin that lives in the city. Chances are.
Well, if the majority votes to do that, fine, but I won't vote for it.
Well, let me give you one. I talked to Wanda about it before tonight's meeting. My mama has $540 on her tax bill. If she only gets one and the rest of them has to pay, that's not fair because they pay $140 just like everybody else. No, if she has 5 assessments, she would get 5 cards and 5 stickers. Well, what they were saying, you only got one.
Per assessment.
Per assessment.
The issue comes in when you have a property that has one assessment and you have multiple owners. And we've come across that. So 4 people may own a piece of property. They use it as a hunt camp. And they want to know, they live all over the place. How are we going to, what are we going to do about them? You know, family members. There's 5, 6 people that live on one piece of property in one house. They want 5 or 6 cards because they all go to the dump. That's the type of scenario we're running into. That's one of them.
That's what I would make would be this. You get a sticker and you get a card. And nowhere, because I haven't read the rule book, but nowhere does it say you got to put that sticker on your windshield. Put that sticker on a 3x5 card. Hang it up there by the back door. Johnny carries the cash off. He holds that up. Puts your back. And then in the next car, I don't know. And I doubt the wisdom of us giving everybody 2 stickers. The sticker and the card are almost identical. I came down there today and got mine, and I got 6 stickers and 6 cards because I pay 6 times 140. And I'm giving them out to my renters. I could give them 1. But you want the sticker or you want the card? I could go down there and give my sister one to live down in the city.
There's no perfect system.
You know, you could So we're making it easy for people to cheat, put that way.
If you don't want to give extra cars, we certainly can do that.
Okay, let me just, while we're in this, I had one person call me today that was complaining about the roll-off, and he said, why don't you, instead of all this sticker stuff, he said, why don't you just use the driver's license? And when you go to the roll-off, present your driver's license. Because if you go in there, you're driving a car and you got a driver's license, and it's got your address on there. And if it says 110 Jefferson Street, then, you know, that's, you're not supposed to be there.
But they may own another property out there in the county.
Well, I mean,
not much
problem. Well, but deal with those stuff, you'd have to work through that issue. Yeah. But most people don't, the majority of the people don't have a residence in the city and then property in the county, I would think. But I mean, I know we've gone through the sticker system, and he asked me tonight when I bring that up. And so I brought it up. What does everybody think? I mean, I heard your comment. Jim, what do you think?
The driver's license would be, you can't, when you got three or four cars at the dump there trying to dump, and the attendant hasn't got to everybody's driver's license and figure out if you live on a certain street, that street might be butted up with the county line, with the city line, and that neighbor. At least that'd be a bunch of that.
And I wouldn't recommend shifting gear halfway through.
I thought about that a long time ago, and I had people mention that to me. But the cars, we've got to run it like a business. And I think it'll work out over a period of time. They had cars years ago, and they just, for some reason, I wasn't on the board, but they just let it go to the wayside. But now, we have an issue, and Gary can tell you, and Ted can tell you, there's an issue with people dumping there in the city, because I have them call me and say, Jim, I've got a house ball, and I live in Pine Ridge in the city, and I want to put that out. I said, well, where you been carrying them in the last 25 years? Well, we've been carrying them to the roll-off site. And that's what they think they still do. But the city, a lot of people don't want an ice box in front of their house for the city to pick up. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't want a sofa out in front of their house or two mattresses out in front of the house when they buy new mattresses. I mean, so they want to carry it to the roll-off site. The city needs to get them a roll-off site where they can carry stuff like that. And then we'll deal with our constituents and let them deal with theirs. You know, and this is the only way to get a handle on it is have some kind of identification. And the cards is the only thing. And as far as, I've never had a hunting club member that bought a new car or a new truck complain about paying $3 for a sticker. I've never heard one say that when a sticker was stolen, they bought a new one and never questioned it. I'm talking about 20 years of sticker.
But there's one thing, there's a difference between somebody that can pay the fee to belong to a hunting club and they're over here getting $550 a month to live on. There's a big difference there, yeah. Asking them to buy, you know, so.
Well, there's a little difference, but still, you can't just give and give and give. You have to, when they pay $140, they're really getting a real good price, but the city's paying $240. And they don't even have a good site as we got. Well, they don't have a site.
Okay, I think the question was, do we want to charge for extra cards? So is that something?
Extra stickers, not cards.
Stickers. Is that something that we can vote on tonight, or do we need to advertise that and put it on another agenda, or what?
It would probably be better to, it's not by, I don't think this is, those prices are by ordinance, they're, aren't they by resolution?
Yeah.
I think they're by resolution.
Resolution by the material that's put in trailers and taken out.
I think maybe we charge all of them $140 in fees.
For a sticker?
We'd make some money then, buddy.
You would lessen the demand for extra stickers.
And if they call you, tell them to call Malcolm and Pam.
That's it.
All right.
I'll tell them to call Frank.
I think.
They do.
Okay.
So I need to agenda that.
Okay.
All right. You need to agenda that.
Okay.
I don't know if you need to advertise, just need to agenda that.
Yeah. Madam Chair, let me sum up all this garbage stuff by telling a story.
Go ahead.
It was Friday of last week. And my wife was with me in the truck, and
She said, just take the garbage up. And the compactor was full. So the attendant directed me up to the hill. He said, throw your stuff over there in number three. Well, I had my tater rake, and I got the garbage and threw it in there. And I looked in the back of the truck. I had just purchased three no trespassing signs. All my fish had disappeared out of my fish pond. And I needed a board to mount it on. And lo and behold, if my carpenter is a licensed contractor in the county, he and his helper were unloading a trailer in front of me. And I greeted him and I said, you throwing away all this scrap from this construction site here? And me knowing fully that he's a contractor. He didn't say a word. I said, I'm looking for a board about 14 inches long and I need four screws. And he said, I'm working in town. And we're fixing to go right back to the work site. I've got just a piece of scrap that you need there. Not going to tell you who he's working for. Well, here you got a contractor, and his attendant was inside of the trailer, a blue hill. And he was hauling that garbage from a place in town. So there's three violations right here. So I followed him back to town, and he sold me three boards out of a piece of scrap. And even Matt must have no trespassing. So I dare not turn him in. I mean, lost a carpenter and a friend. But this is something we're going to have to deal with at a workshop.
Yes.
It's what we're going to do with folks. Now, he didn't have anywhere else to put this stuff. Except I wondered the place he was working at had two or three big old canisters. Why didn't he put it in them?
Wait a minute.
They're hauling it to Harrison with
them. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Because people have seen that, ain't got nowhere to haul their garbage.
That's the same thing you're facing down there.
Yes, sir.
And rather than him charge the people that were doing this little construction, it's a set of doorsteps he was repairing. In a minute, y'all, we figured out who he was working on. But anyhow, he didn't need to be renting a $3,400 dumpster just to throw that little bit in. And it's too much trouble to haul that little bit to Greenville and pay them. We need, not only for Steve Hatchie, but for the rest of the citizens in the county, if you're small carpenter, and you got a load of stuff, let them bring it on to the road side and charge them by the yard. Then you can do away with skills.
Thank you.
But we can talk about all this.
Yeah, we're going to discuss that in the February workshop, and you've been directed to get some calls, because the cost differential between Steve Hatchie and some ideas.
And then they're not called like that, because they feel entitled, because we've been done for free for years and years and years. But, you know.
But anyway, we want to go through this month getting card system implemented, and in February we'll talk about what the other
country. And let's phase that in slowly, you know, like if I show up Thursday, Friday, whatever it is, this week, and I still haven't gotten my card, just a reminder, maybe not write down a tag number, kick butt. Give them the time.
Oh, we're going to give them all month, basically, to get this. We're better than car systems.
Right? He's going to kick butt all month.
No. We're going to be nice all month.
This is what Jack said, where he got into it. Oh, it's going to be complicated, and I can tell you all kinds of scenarios. People live in town, city won't pick up his garbage, he takes it in the employee, they take his garbage and put it in there, they can't take it out, put it in the county blew off that. It all kind of things like that. Just what he took. But first thing, trash is not all I like to deal with. Nobody like to deal with people. They're probably in the best mood when you come. But I think the county is doing as good as they can with what they got to work with. The palm hat, real accommodating. And I think that 30 days you give them to get used to it. But the point I made. I mean, we've got 13 cars, okay? I mean, three, that's all it is. They blow off into the sun camp, they take their trash, I'm not going to give them a car. I'll give them some of that, but they don't go to the dump. But it just seems like, yeah, it's complicated. Thank you.
County Attorney, item 16, the board should consider approval of draft ordinance and advertisement to add additional no-wait zone to ordinance 2000-6 Rainwater as prepared by the county attorney. Is there a motion to read this ordinance?
Motion.
Second.
Got a motion by Commissioner Russell, second by Commissioner Page. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Well, number one, the ordinance has not been advertised. This was just for y'all to determine whether you wanted to advertise or not. And if you read my letter, I said this is a revised ordinance. Remember, we had to repeal the first ordinance because we didn't do what we were supposed to do according to the statute. So I've revised it. I don't know whether we heard from Ms. Anderson yet on this or not yet, whether this would pass muster.
Yes, but just a couple short.
I'm getting rather irritated with that. You know, not you. I'm getting very irritated with having to redo this over and over and over again. So my suggestion is that y'all vote to advertise it.
I move to vote to advertise it.
Third.
We have a motion by Commissioner Gibbs, a second by Commissioner Page. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank y'all.
Item 17, the board to consider approval of draft resolution that establishes a Carriage Road Cemetery Committee as prepared by the county attorney. And this one, we do need a motion to read the resolution by
the motion to read the resolution. Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Russell. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Resolution of the Board of County Commissioners of Taylor County, Florida, that establishes a Cabbage Grove Cemetery Committee. And y'all need to fill in what who those people are.
Not here.
Yes.
Mr. I read the resolution, and it's so very understandable. I doubt the wisdom of us including number four, that committee is subject to part of Sunshine Law. If we can leave that out, that would make it a lot easier for these three people to meet by telephone or whatever and do their little bit of business they've got to do with Paul Rivers. Do you have any strenuous objections to us revising and leaving out number four?
Well, I don't want anybody to get in trouble. That's why I put it in there. You know, if they make a recommendation to the board on what you're going to do with this cemetery, and that's why I put it in there.
If it's in here, then they've got to keep minutes of all their meetings, and two of them get together and talk about, just think about the ease of it.
What exactly do they want to do?
They want to negotiate. Hold harmless or an indemnification process with Fall River, so that Fall River either gives them some land or gives them the right to lease a certain portion of the land so they can go in and clear up, try to identify some grave sites. It's a granite marker up there.
And it was my understanding that this was brought to us by the Taylor County Historical.
Those people? All of them, as far as I know, are members of the Historical Society.
The Historical Society did not promote it.
But the Historical Society is not running the show.
They just happen to be members of the Historical Society.
Now, as far as filling in the blank, you all were here, Mr. James Lee agreed to be the spokesperson to go talk to the folks at Full River. I talked to James on the phone with him. He's already reaching out. And then his nephew, Robbie Lee, whose grandmother or great-grandmother or great-great's buried out here, he's very much interested in it. So we needed a third person. Well, Mr. Robert Lynn has been very, very active in trying to assist him in any way he could. Yeah. And they suggested he be a good third person. They suggested me. I said, I wouldn't dare ask the board to appoint me. We had a commissioner here one time, voted to appoint his first cousin to the planning board and got an ethics complaint. So, you know, after I get off the commission, I might rejoin them. But they don't know yet from Four Rivers exactly what the form of the indemnification will be.
We'll see. It was mine. I thought about this a long time before I put that in there.
Okay.
Malcolm. And then the other issue was about indemnification and liability. And it was my understanding that the Historical Society did not have the money to, the liability insurance was too expensive. And then I thought, well, the board, you know, just felt like it is, you know, they helped the historical society with the building and so forth, and they could find out how much that insurance would cost, and then the board pay that, or give that money to the historical society, and the historical,
right, pretty good.
And the historical society gets the policy, and we're kind of left out.
This Bishop, in going along with the same line of thought, one of these gentlemen called me just before the board meeting. He said, when we discuss this, will you have it in the, whatever you pass, the resolution, so that this little committee can get some advice from Mr. Bishop? Would you be willing to spend an hour or so with him and tell him, I think the indemnification ought to be run through the Historical Society, rather than the county commission having to do a separate policy, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
So,
absolutely.
I think let's pass the resolution, and I prefer that the sunshine be left out, but I'm not going to not vote for it if you all decide to keep it in there. Well, so if anybody else wants to add some additional names other than those three that I mentioned are willing to serve, I will be offended to take some of these off. But having said all that, okay.
I would suggest that if you're going to leave it in there about the Florida Sunshine Law, that they go to the First Amendment Foundation, get a copy of the Sunshine Law so they are familiar with it. Mm-hmm. Because these people you're putting on here probably has no knowledge about what the Sunshine Law means.
My motion is going to be to adopt the resolution and read it first by leaving out number four about the Sunshine Law and authorize these people to contact Mr. Bishop for some legal advice as they proceed.
Okay, we've got a motion, but all we had is hand up quite a while wanting to say something.
I'm on the Historical Society Board, and as far as I know, we have not agreed to take that on. They met with us, and the Historical Society would encourage them to do that, but that takes a formal vote by the. We've got this thing with the Rosehead Park. The Historical Society Board never sanctioned that. Okay, we've got some things going on there. We've got a meeting on the 10th. Mark said we're going to try to get a handle on that. But as far as I know, the Historical Society has not agreed to sponsor or in any way assume any liability for the cemetery. I may be wrong. But it would take a lot of bylaw to vote that. Okay? I don't want to get in the air of that, but I'm just concerned about it.
I've been told
don't have any assets.
That the policy that the Historical Society has would only, the coverage is only extended to members of the Historical Society. So if you had somebody else out there having to clean up the underground cemetery site, I don't know. That's
it's complicated, but that, my point I want to make is I don't think the Historical Society, I'm on board now for years, that it's voted to take this on. We would encourage the leads. In fact, I gave the leads permission years ago. Put up a sign of the Florida Gamble out there. They know that, you know, but let's wrestle that down if we involve the Historical Society too much. We got a meeting on January the 9th.
Before we move forward, though, I guess I need to ask another question. Exactly what is this committee wanting the county to do? What specifically do they want us to do?
They want this county to assist in procuring whatever Four Rivers requires as far as indemnification is concerned. And if they can get past that hurdle, then I think they have enough volunteers that can go out there, chop down briars, and send us some donations and put a nice granite marker, and they can go to historical archives and see if they can. You know, whatever they want to do.
I know all that.
It's a well-meaning focus. And you're all over there in the county.
What about them? They're cemetery in all of this county. What have they done that want liability from you all?
I get real clear in the conversation with Mr. James Lee. We're trying to help you. Either go through the Historical Society or whatever we can do. But you got to find out, Mr. Travis McCoy, what they need.
I'll talk to him.
And when they decide, then come back and tell us, but now I'm going to tell you. If you come back to the board and you ask us to buy a separate policy just for this cemetery, and you want us to spend another taxpayer money, I'm going to run now. So they've heard that from me up front.
I don't want to. I'm supportive of what they do. I gave Mr. Slime those things and everything.
Well, that's why I heard with him and see
most of the grants. He's okay. But he'd like to improve those and grades. They don't think the king of this ground field trade stuff. But the issue, I know the issue is who's going to provide Four Rivers with some liability protection.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's as far as we don't have a budget.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Would we do any other entity in this county like this?
They did this with the city, and the board never voted for the historical society to sponsor the Springhead. They had the beer tent down, but the board was upset about that.
The Florida statutes, and Lake Conrad's provided us all a copy of that statute. It does allow counties to expend funds to clean up abandoned cemeteries. So what they're trying to do is perfectly legal. It's legal for the county to whatever extent you all choose to do so.
And that's another reason why you want to be in the sunshine law.
Yeah. Okay. I'll tell you much. Keep the sunshine law in there.
And let them break back this and look at it. I talked to Mr. Lynn, and I agree. You know, there's a grave out there. And from what I can understand, it might be trees, and but they have some. Find the grave, and they won't be able to identify the grave.
It'd be hard.
Yeah. I think they'd be satisfied.
I think Mr. Lynn's real busy over there off of St. Peter Road.
Okay, do you mind restating my motion?
Yes. We put the resolution with the sunshine law number 4 in there. And if we appoint these three names, James Lee, Ronnie Lee, and Robert Lynn, and allow them to talk to Mr. Bishop, and he can steer them in the right direction. And at least we can do this. Buy some time, see what, and then we'll make another decision if it comes time to spend some money.
Okay.
But I would be honored if you all would pass this tonight.
Yeah, I'm with
you. One fair question, Mr. Chairman. The way you're doing that, you're assuming that this work is not going to work. Or the identification through this whole side, that's the gist I get. Okay, is that right?
Not necessary.
Okay.
I'll have a conversation with James Lee tomorrow on the phone, and I'll tell James, don't go under the assumption that his story is
and they can, but we've got to be on January 10th.
Okay. All right.
Okay, we got a motion by Commissioner Page, a second by Commissioner Dents. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
I voted for that under the assumption that there's no money involved. Because I know the Historical Society has been hitting on me to give money to the Historical Society. We don't have it.
Nobody changed hands tonight.
Okay. Under county
administration. I was going to say, for the record, I cannot say with surety that I have any ancestors buried in this cemetery. Historical research that my family's done is I had a great grandfather. Some history says he was buried in an unmarked grave over in Woodville on some page land over there, which is where my ancestors came from. Another record says he moved from Pepper County and was buried in an unmarked grave in Jetta County.
Rockford.
And he's probably buried in Rockford where his son is, but his granddaddy buried. So I don't have any conflict. I can't prove I got any relatives in the cemetery.
Well, if it, you know, it's an abandoned cemetery, and if we're legal, and like you said, we can do it legal, and we can help them and not expend a lot of funds, and I think we should help them all again. Under county administrator items number 18, the county administrator to discuss parking lot paving at the supervisor of elections office.
Yes, it's under my name, but Ken has been working on it. He has selected a contractor as a quote to be provided to me. It is just under our $35,000 threshold. If you take out what we discussed, I've got $34,350. We'll make y'all aware of it, especially since some of your discretionary money be used. Right. And I did have one question that y'all discussed is the survey. Ken feels that he can locate the, I guess, the markers out there and adequately determine the parking lot, but y'all had mentioned you wanted a survey on it.
Don't you find the corners? Yeah.
If the corners are there, it's not hard to find, but as a condition of the original purchase of that, a survey was required by the purchaser, which was the county, so there should be a...
Should be a survey already done.
Survey. It's all about a survey.
Well, the closing documents that I located and gave information from says that there was a recent survey or something like that.
That's what I heard.
The closing documents.
So if it was a survey was performed, then they either found or set new monuments. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be that difficult. I'll go out there and find it.
Let's go that way.
That's all right with me.
Okay. So the reason for the survey was the concern with encroachments into adjacent properties, I guess.
Right.
Okay. So you just want to make sure we're all on our property with the.
Make sure we don't pay
for the storyline and all that.
We were staying within our parcel lines on the north side. Obviously, we had to do agreement or easement to go into their property on the south side.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Okay. The minutes, you got one bid on the project.
No, we have one quote from Peavy and Sons, and then we have a no quote from Anderson Columbia,
okay.
A no quote from Preferred Materials Incorporated, and another no quote from White Person Construction out of Gainesville. And then there was another quote from a fourth contractor, which they were not qualified with the DOT.
$34,000, I don't think you did good.
Okay, who is the one you recommend?
Peavy and Son.
Peavy
and Son in the amount of $34,350.
Was that the lowest quote we had?
That was the only quote that we had that was from a qualified contractor.
$34,350.
Why do we have to have a qualified contractor or parking lot?
I think it is in our best interest to always use qualified contractors.
In your best interest, is this
no, I didn't say
law?
I didn't say mine, I said ours.
Is it a law or what is it?
It's
I mean, I hear you say that all the time. So.
You hear me say that it's in our best interest to do that?
I hear you say that.
Yes, sir. It's in my opinion to use a qualified contractor versus a non-qualified contractor, specifically referring to DOT's qualification, pre-qualification, is that you're getting a contractor that has established that they have the credentials as well as the qualifications to perform that work, and they have the viability from a financial standpoint that they're going to be in business. It's no different than when you have guys come in here that don't have license, don't have a workers' comp insurance, and they're bidding against the same job. Yeah, they might can do the job, but you're not bidding on the same product, and that's why I require a pre-qualified DOT contract.
I'm a little bit confused with the policy. Mm-hmm. When y'all talk about changing the policy, when it was increased to 35 before, mm-hmm. The policy never was changed and adopted. The board just approved the changes. And when Frank brought it up early on about changing the policy, mm-hmm. He said it didn't need to be changed. So is the policy $25,000 or $35,000?
According to the minutes, the levels of authority are at $35,000. I could not locate a written policy. That doesn't mean there wasn't one. I just never could find it. So when we brought the revised policy to the board, it had the limits that were on the written policy I could find. But the minutes do say that the board approved a $35,000 threshold and also a $2,500 threshold as far as quotes. So no quotes up to $2,500 and then three quotes from $2,501 to $35,000 and RFP after that. Is what the minutes state.
Commissioner Moody.
I had several constituents call me. I know they're probably all coming from the same source, but they were wondering about the price of the pavement. They said we had a bid that was $27,000 or something, that figure, and it wasn't DOT certified, so we had to go to get another quote from somebody. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
And they asked a question and said, well, is it in the law somewhere that they have to use a certified, you know, DOT contractor to do it? Said Michael Lynn wasn't a DOT certified. He built the building, the remodeled building. Man poured the concrete out back. He wasn't DOT certified. And why would the parking lot have to be DOT certified?
Well, personally, Michael Lynn built the building because he is a registered building contractor.
Right.
This has nothing to do with DOT certification.
I mean, you know, I'm just bringing up the questions and the discussion of what comes from the constituents. You know, they want to know why, you know, one could do something that wasn't top certified in that, on that property, and the other one had to be. You know, they were just saying that we were wasting taxpayers' money for it.
Let's let Mr. Dudley respond to that.
And I'll say the same thing that I just did, because this constituent is the very one that has been in this room numerous times telling you that don't sit here or complaining about contractor A, contractor B, contractor C that's running around town that doesn't have the right credentials, doesn't have the proper insurance. Yeah. I can't compete with them because they're undercutting all of my costs. I'm required to have all this stuff and that these people don't, so how is that fair? Now when the shoe's on the other foot and it's a little bit more convenient for them, they're in here saying, hey, how about just forgetting this and let me go ahead and bid on this? No, I told them no. If you're going to do a job for us, you're going to have the qualifications, which we associate as DOT pre-qualification. That was all in a nutshell what I told him. Here's all the correspondence on it. I'm completely fine with giving this to the clerk as a record of our quote process.
That's fine, and I understand your stand for that, and I appreciate you backing it up. But I was just bringing up what the talk was and what the conversations were and what the phone calls were.
Yes, sir.
I wanted it all out and clear where y'all would understand it and you would understand it.
I must tell you my personal opinion. Unless you can show me some mechanical facts that one job is not as good as the other, I think you should take the cheaper job. And what I mean by mechanical facts is show me where he's done a job that failed, and show me where the other guy's done the same job and it kept going.
So you're suggesting that it's appropriate to waive qualifications if I can show you that I did a good job somewhere else?
What you said a minute ago was the guy didn't have a qualification. He bitched them all about other people and complained about him doing work without a license.
Yes, sir.
He's got a license.
Who?
The person that we're talking about.
Person has what license? He doesn't have DOT qualifications.
Does he have a license to restripe, to put down?
I'm not
sure he has the asphalt license.
I don't know. DOT has work classes, and they range from concrete to striping to turf to hot mix asphalt, flexible pavement, all those different categories. They are required to demonstrate that they have the qualifications to perform those tasks reliably. In addition to that, they are required to submit financials so that they can show that they are a viable company from a financial standpoint. Once you have that, you have the blessing of the DOT that, yes, it is okay to contract with this company for this type of service. That's what we do instead of trying to do extensive background checks or running to this county or that county and checking up on their jobs to say, oh, do they know how to lay asphalt? How long has it been there? Did they have any problems after they laid it? Did the owner have to go back to them? We equate them being a qualified contractor with them obtaining FDOT pre-qualification.
Yeah, all the things they go get the FDOT and then there's no question about it, right?
That's correct.
While we got canceled, I haven't asked a question. Some people a gentleman came here the other night and brought up a conversation about sand sealing the roads to make them last longer.
Yes, sir.
Explain that to me, what that does and does it help? And
I will say that my understanding of sand sealing is that it is a maintenance activity to prolong the life of the road that has stress cracks. You basically take sand, which is a filler material, and a bitumen or a tar type material that acts as a glue or a bonding agent. You surface the road with that in order to seal those cracks up from water propagating down into the lower base. Because in a lot of the northern regions, you'll have water go down there and the freeze-thaw cycle tends to bust the road more up and it breaks down even quicker. DOT does not have that process as an approved process right now. They have an old, many years back, they used to do it, but they didn't, for whatever reason, they didn't continue that.
How expensive is that process? Do you remember?
I don't remember, and it's, you know, you have to look at everything on a life cycle. It may be cheap to run out there and to spray sand seal on it and it look, you know, brand new for a year. And that's all you're doing with those are maintenance things. So you're trying to prolong the life of it to get you to the point that you can go in and make that capital improvement.
Right.
When you see that you need it. Some places they change the filler material to increase the friction, the skid friction, things like that when you have accident areas, things like that.
Thank you. I just had that question.
One of the times when Kent stood in front of us years ago, he said the sand seal road between Steenhatchee and Keaton Beach, which at the time wasn't resurfaced, would save the life of the road because of freezing would crack the road and the sand and seal would keep it together. That's been years and years to bring it up.
Apparently, because I had.
Well, you were the one down the road from Steenhatchee to Keaton Beach.
Right? I am the one.
And we sand and sealed it a year or so before that. You
not since I've been here.
Well, maybe the state done.
I don't know. I think it's been ours since the 70s, and I've only been here since 99. So we resurfaced it from Steenhatchee to all the way back up to US 19, but we didn't sand seal anything. We used an army layer, which is a crack relief layer.
I looked at Fox Steel the other day before I come up here, and it's got those weather cracks all in, you know. Sure. And they're about anywhere from 3/8 inch wide. And that's where the water gets in on a rainy night, and then it freezes that night. That's what you're talking about. It makes that asphalt pop up.
If water can permeate or run down into the cracks,
right,
and then it freezes, then it has potential to bust the asphalt.
Right.
Yes, sir.
That's what I thought that was, but it's been years since I've seen that done in Taylor County. I used to do it.
We did it just prior to him getting here.
Right.
Yeah, the only one I recall of us doing was, and then it may have been on the beach road, was the, you know, you had the chip seal that was the Strickland Landing subdivision. That was the only thing close to what was suggested.
That's all that.
And we don't recommend it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's,
thank you.
The one we did down there lasted. It lasted until we researched.
Maybe Mr. Bush did that, because I don't know.
Probably did. Okay, you're right.
Okay, are there any more questions about the supervisor of elections office job?
Maybe it's moving, but
okay.
An election coming.
I responded to them this morning and asked them to give us a timetable that they could once we discussed it with the board. They have our response yet. I'll let Mr. Lakey know as soon as we can, and I'm assuming we'll issue a purchase.
We need to start a motion on this.
So half of the funding is coming out of District 1, right? Half is coming from District 1, and the balance is coming from the common account. Is that what it was?
I'll make that motion that we proceed with the $35,000. Half the money coming from District 1, road paving money, and the other half coming from common account.
And I'll second that motion. We need, but it with the understanding that it'll be done before election time gets here, before we get going.
You'll never get called to cemetery done before election.
It's my information within a few weeks.
Or who runs either?
I read something that if it's not done real quick, that she will not be able to use that building until after this election.
One thing that we did suggest was, you know, the one on the south side, they wanted a little driveway that goes around to the back building.
Needs to be done while we're into it.
It's already done. The milling's placed last week.
Okay.
The second thing I would suggest is if they have a lot of moving to move into this building, it would be wise to do that prior to resurfacing the asphalt so that we don't wind up tearing that up with trailers and various
things. Exactly.
Could we give her
her a call and ask them to go ahead and do that, because
we need to stuff like that.
She could probably go ahead and do that.
As they piece, or tell her that we're trying to push along, that they go ahead and move what they can.
Sure.
So we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion carries. But tell them to please hurry.
I will.
Yeah. We're going to have a good break to vote on.
I got another question. Could that have been done in concrete?
The entire parking lot?
Yeah, the parking lot.
Certainly.
And a higher price.
Would it have been a little higher price?
I have to get to my tech.
Generally, concrete's more expensive than asphalt.
It usually
is. Yes,
but it lasts longer than the parking lot. They probably didn't have
that. Well, right now, we're having asphalt, right?
Yeah. So we don't have asphalt, but I just wondered about that. If it run into where we weren't going to get it done in time, we could get it done with concrete. I mean, you know, that's just what it's like.
My expectation and my hope is that, you know, we're going to mobilize them in January.
Good. Thank you.
And let's make sure with Dana that that's going to be concrete. Work with her.
As soon as I find, I will find out what the timing is. I'll relate to Mr. Lindner.
Okay, thank you. Item 19, the county administrator to discuss informational items.
Just a quick notice, we are under winter storm warning this evening. And the notice from emergency management says possible freezing rain, sleet, and snow would be possible, probably between 4 a.m. and 10 a.m. That's the warning. We made a decision to allow employees to come in 9 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock. Err on the side of caution, just to be aware of that. And we'll evaluate in the morning where we are.
One more thing.
Yes, sir.
What about a place for those people to stay sleeping in the woods? Have we got a place?
You've done a little bit of work on it. We don't have a shelter.
Sheriff Pedro, I saw him this afternoon. And he asked me, could we open the shelter so when they picked up somebody, they'd have a place to take them?
My understanding is that we do not have a cold weather shelter and have not in I don't know how long. What we can offer, there is a cold weather shelter in Tallahassee. And Melody is working with Big Bend Transit where we can offer transportation to Tallahassee. But as far as the Board of County Commissioners, there has not been a cold weather shelter established. When I spoke with emergency management probably a month ago, they said that that is something that they encourage the churches to offer the real estate, and then we can work with Red Cross or whatever as far as supplies.
What I was thinking was, is one of the high schools that uses a gym for a church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things I was thinking. Maybe they could do that if they did nothing else.
But it's full of chairs. What about the First Capitol Hall? Why couldn't we open it up? We did during the storm.
Yeah, we should. That's a fact. That's a good idea. Is there any particular reason why you can't do that?
No, it isn't.
I don't know. I'll talk to Steve in the morning.
Because there are people out there sleeping on the streets.
Well, that's...
That RV coming in tonight.
That's what I was thinking.
And I don't know if it's an... I don't know why they had. We don't do that. I don't know if just the winters have been so mild that it hasn't come up. But the last I checked, that has not been resolved.
Well, why can't we decide tonight that we're going to open the Forest Capitol Hall, and we may not have beds, but we have a place with heat, and you bring your sleeping bag, your quilts, whatever you've got, pillows, and at least they can get out of the cold.
I make that motion. This is what she said.
We'll declare an emergency first.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to declare an emergency.
Second. Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Russell, second by Commissioner Dibbs. All in favor say aye.
Just as point of discussion, there's a little bit more than just declaring it open. I mean, you got to arrange people to staff it and a lot of that.
You can't get all that done by 4 o'clock in the morning, can you?
No, sir. I don't know. We couldn't do that. But I mean, I'm willing to pursue the idea. I'm just
now saying, what you're doing, Mr. Lackey, you listen to the major point. Today is one day. There's 5 days of this left.
I understand.
Well, there's 5 days.
School closed tomorrow.
And if you can't get somebody in 5 days, then we need to replace you.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. 5 days.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Now, do you want to state your motion of that we open the Forest Capitol Hall as a
just as Commissioner Siegel said, I want to open Fort Scott Hall as a refuge for cold weather.
Okay.
You don't have to have some supervision there, you know.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
I second. Can we get the emergency management down there to help?
Whoever supervises it during the storm.
It's usually Red Cross, CERT, other volunteers, county staff usually.
Who's second motion? Commissioner Dins. Okay. Motion by Commissioner Russell, and then we're into discussion. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay. Anything before? Item 20. Comments and concerns from the public for non-agenda items. Anyone have anything to say that wasn't on the agenda? If not, we're going to move right on to item 21, board information and items. Commissioner Russell.
Yes, Madam Chairperson. I ask of him, I probably need to wait till work session. The sheriff offered to maintain the lights on the canals at the beach and at the creek. He had an individual who used to do that that worked for him, and he said he would do that. But there's the golf cart we had at Keith Beach that we were talking about. We'll change that to go from Fantasy Island to that first subdivision there on the south and let it go through. You remember the one we brought up and had the 2 miles worth of 35 mile an hour. I want to get rid of that.
That's on the main beach road?
Yeah.
Up there at Gibson Road, you're talking about?
Yeah, I don't want to go to Gibson Road. I want to go to Fantasy Island. They call it right in front of the ice house.
Yeah.
And then go around the curve to the first subdivision.
No, no problem. I've heard a lot of complaints on that too.
You can bring that up as a motion for me to prepare that at the next regular meeting.
I will.
Okay.
Mr. Lackey, I have had several people, almost as many as guards, call me in reference to dogs being tied up on cables and chains outside in the weather. Now, my dogs aren't treated like that, so it's fine. But we might ask our person to go check on the road going to Buckeye. Right in front of where Paget's construction is, I saw 2 bulldogs there the other day. And over the Christmas holidays, there's a lot of garbage gathered on the roads. Not just my road, but your road. If we could get some help picking them up, I'd really like to do that. I'd like to see you cut the code enforcement person to 2 half-time people so we can get started on that. Not have an excuse for everything, but no, can't do anything on county code enforcement. Commissioner Figler said it best today. Earlier, we've got to do something to make sure we do something wrong, so we need to do something with code enforcement. She didn't say that, that's what I was thinking when it up in the garbage. And have we ordered new motor graders? Have we had a budget?
It's going to be on your workshop to discuss the leases.
Oh, you're going to do leases? I might not be at the workshop. So I'll save this and I'll through. Thank you, man. I wish everybody a happy new year.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Appreciate any of these extra prayers you got. I've got to go to the doctor myself. But, and it's always good to have a worship master walk with you.
Commissioner Dins.
Yes, ma'am. Y'all don't know how I've been beat with that garbage.
Fuck.
And I had a chance to visit one site. That was the Harrison Lewis. Mm-hmm. Been the nicest fellow in the world I've been beat out there. And so when I got that, I was relieved. But it's a lot of this is attitude problem we have. I don't know whether some of you are so old that we're a little grumpy or. You just have people to take kind of bad attitude. I go to Madison to help my mother-in-law. She's 101. I take her garbage out every Saturday or every Friday. They asked me for my address. I tell them it's on 181 St. Luke Church Loop. Have no problem at all. I just can't understand saving my life.
That is a fact.
Yes. I can't understand it.
I agree.
Can't understand it. You know, I've been in a year. Every other month, we have big job.
Yeah.
They have trees up there cut. They have all this kind of stuff.
Now, I told,
go ahead.
I told Miss Solana that if I didn't have garbage problems, we wouldn't have no problems. Have I not told you that? And what you said tonight, if there's a problem, somebody needs to resolve it. If we don't have anybody to resolve it, we need to get somebody to resolve it. Regardless of what it is, I'm willing to work with the person that's there, but there needs to be some action taken in order to stop the call from being a concern. And I did not, I must tell you, I did not tell anybody to call you. I felt like telling Carl Bowman one time.
Yeah. Well, you're calling. If you've got some of your own, I say, oh, they're as old as me, good Baptist different types, that get irate on the phone, or come to your house and say, well, let's say the stupidest rule I ever heard of in my life, and when you get one of them, you dismiss it. When you get 10 of them, you say, well, these are the folks who put me in here tonight. I'm listening.
Something wrong
out there now. Yeah.
That's right. I'll tell you, when I get one of those same kind of Baptist deacon people that call me, tell me that he went to the roll-off and he was told he couldn't bring that second load, and then it comes back to me that from the roll-off people had a roll-off that didn't happen. I know this man didn't lie to me. I know that. Now, I'm not saying who did, but I know he didn't.
And that rule didn't come from the roll-off tenant. That rule came from higher up because the same thing has happened. Steve Hanchin, I've called you and got your help on it another time.
Right.
Seriously.
What else you got? Sorry. The blessings upon Frank and his daughter.
Thank you, Jesus.
The blessings upon the new year for us up here.
Amen. Frank, is it tomorrow?
Right.
That's it.
We're praying for you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Page.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to talk about three things. Just today, had a call from a gentleman who lives within a quarter of a mile of Harrison Lou Roll-off site. I could fuss at you about this no mesquite 2 feet on the ground. That's not what I'm calling you about. He said, I don't mind you trying to follow the rules and cooperate with me. You're doing a pretty good job. But what I am concerned about is you've got a herd of 27 feral cats that we're feeding, the tenders are feeding out there on the asphalt at Harrison Blue, and they're up there in my yard, and half of them are probably rabid, and they're not tested and whatnot. You got a cat problem. Mm-hmm. I said, well, we're meeting tonight, and I'll mention to the administrator and ask him to have animal control talk to those attendants out there and see if they need to be maintaining 27 cats. That's too many. Frank, you mentioned me one time that you were out there and there was 10 or 12 of them.
As a pastor.
There's 27, this guy said. And he hung in good deacon that book. Thank you very much.
It's not that they're feeding them, because if they don't feed them, the cat will go into the compactor and dig it out.
So. Well, yeah. I heard they were actually feeding them out there. My wife said, well, no, something's not right. If you feed them feral cats out there, they're all outside. They ain't going to be a quarter of a mile away in Mr. Nunny's yard. And I don't know much about cats, but 27 is too many.
You're right. They won't be a quarter of a mile away.
Yeah. All right, now, Frank, I'm going to meddle in your business with you now. But you had a call today from Gail Dicker, and I did too, and I didn't return a call because she spoke on my recorder until the minutes about ran off. But that issue now makes me nasty. I told her in person at a funeral the other day that I would follow your guidance, that she needs to work with you, you're the commissioner for that district, to provide her with some relief. And I didn't want to take any leadership role on it. But do you have any idea what all she wants done?
He's got it. It's that group of pictures.
wants the setbacks met. She wants one unit per 5,000 square feet. She wants what the code says.
That's not unreasonable.
Absolutely not. And I gave him a picture, copy of the picture. You should see it.
It's not worse yesterday.
Yeah.
Is that the lady with the house built right on the line that I talked
about? Her house is not right on the line.
No, no, neighbor's house.
Her neighbor's house is right on the line.
And it's they had four RVs in there yesterday.
Yeah. And two boats.
Two boats.
On a 5,500 lot.
So anyway, I just pass that on to the commissioner.
I appreciate it, man.
And I mean, we need to enforce the code.
When I get a chance and we get another work session, I'd like to establish a committee. And that committee of 5 or 6 people, not 20, sit down and have some rules and regulations to give to our new code enforcement person we're going to get and go through with my event.
Now, I've talked about Ms. Dicker. We talked about cats at Harrison Blue. Frankly, as you come out of the Cedar Island Road, headed back towards the beach road there, hidden behind some cabbage palms is a perfectly good county-owned sign, and it was just a sign that's an arrow. If one arrow says tuck, go to the left, and the other end of the arrow says head steam edge. You can't see it. It's clothed with palmettos, cabbage palms.
You mean across the road?
Yeah, right across the road. Coming out.
I know right what's
that. You coming out and going east on Cedar Island, like you're leaving.
Yeah.
And you come right there, and that sign, I know it's there, to get it poured out. You see that sign behind the cabbage tree? Y'all want to trim that out? I said, I'll.
Mr. Russell?
I'll mention it to Mr. Russell.
We'll take that and take it.
You can take your axe when you get out of the hospital, right?
I will.
Go down there and whack it.
I'll take the palm trees.
Bring the cabbage to me after you get it done and everything.
Don't throw away. I want to wish everybody a happy new year, and I feel like I'm homebound. It's so cold, I don't even want to get out there and feed the cows. But look for a great year, better year. Thank you.
Commissioner Reed.
I want to wish y'all a happy new year. It's been a pleasure sitting and being to work with y'all. It's been a good year. I think we got a lot accomplished. And really appreciate the help with all of us. A little bit I put in that first out. I only have one thing that my person asked me about. They had heard about us letting somebody move a camper to one of the sites that we talked about, like off of the river boat side, boat ramp side. And is that something we are really are going to try to do? Let somebody like stay at Hampton Springs and somebody stay at off of a boat ramp? And
I'm certainly in favor of that.
I'm in favor.
And I think we need to advertise that. To be legal, we need to advertise it and see how many people are interested in that. It would take a lot of issues we got.
It would, but let me add this. I think before we start advertising and getting people in, that we need a set of guidelines.
Oh, yeah.
And this is what you can do, and this is what we expect, and have everything in order. Then advertise.
You don't want somebody there to set up a bait business at the boat ramp down there, just so we let them stay there, or have 4 or 5 little cars there working on with the hoods up. You don't want that. You got to have some guidelines, but it's something we need to. We've been talking about it with
about 3 years.
Do you know of any other county that has such so we could get guidelines that they use?
State has something like that.
We
got guidelines. We have guidelines for a long time.
Well, sometimes it's used theirs as a guide. That's all, just to get ideas.
Okay. There's Crystal River, the one just south of there. What's the name of that camp?
Crystal River, Citrus.
The one right south of Citrus.
Hernando.
They got them everywhere in Hernando. I'm not sure Citrus don't have it. Yeah.
Anything else?
And I've been asked about contractors. People have been talking about the contractors carrying limbs and tops and trees. We've been talking that for about 3 years. We need to get that in our next workshop, or we can go ahead and establish some kind of something where people can carry the stuff to the to the landfill and to the incinerator and get that ball rolling on that. We need to work in that direction. People have been asking about it.
Thank you.
And it's time we get that ball rolling, and I just want to bring it up one more time.
On your idea of the campers that we just discussed, when would you like to consider that? When do you think?
Well,
would you like to see the guidelines brought to us?
That's something we need to work out in the workshop, get everybody's idea on the guidelines of what all needs to take place.
Well, they've got some.
But we've hired Ted to do stuff like that and get that ball rolling, you know, and he could work in that direction and get some ideas going, and, you know, and we could go from there with it. I think, you know, also the riverboat ramp is one really neat one. Hampton Springs gets reviews. If you had somebody living there,
about Hodges Park.
Yeah, Hodges Park. We need one to keep Big Boat Ramp, really.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
that's four, and that'd be a good start.
Yeah.
You don't have no place to park on Hodges Park.
Do what?
We don't have a place to park on Hodges Park.
No, not really. And you get a lot of people that look at their eyes there, you know. People don't do too much there and stuff there.
Marcella is the most logical place to start.
Right. Marcella is the most out of the way place.
Hampton Springs.
Hampton Springs is probably number two. And
I tell you, the one thing that I'd like to see us do is take some of this third and fourth set. Fourth and fifth, and put some lights at these various places. I'm serious. Now, you take, I don't know if Commissioner Fickle knows this or not, but last weekend we got a rapture break-in at Keaton Beach, believe it or not.
Oh, my goodness.
Absent owners. And us, we got to do something because we lose the people. The people are moving out of Canada. One guy had a gun in the back of the truck from Georgia Boy. He said, "Oh, I don't know Georgia Boy." It broke his window and his truck didn't go.
I heard about a bunch of break-ins then.
They had an awful lot of them. I talked to a man about it. And he had three deputies down there at one time the other night. I know for a fact because I was watching. They were chasing somebody. They called him. But we need to consider lights, Hampton Springs, Osceola. Anywhere we got, we need to consider. This phone here says it's time for my bed. I got to go.
Did you have anything else? Okay. We have talked about the private county garbage pickup. Do we have that on the agenda for the workshop on Thursday?
No, but we can. I was going to do it on the February meeting.
Well, this is just to talk about what we need to do to get somebody and help them get in business. What do they need to do?
Oh, okay.
So I'd like to discuss that Thursday because this person has called me back again, and I'll discuss it on Thursday night. Some of the things that they have told me, but seems like some good opportunities for maybe some local people to start a business. And from what this person is saying, he would employ more people. So I think it would create job opportunities and create a service that's needed. So I'm ready to let's talk about that and see what we need to do. So I'd like to have it on the agenda for Thursday. Also, I had someone today to call me. My phone rang all day today. But they're asking for the sheriff, would they please put the speed wagon somewhere on Luther Wilson Road, somewhere around 7950 Luther Wilson Road, somewhere in that area. They're complaining about a lot of speeders coming through. They asked me about speed bumps, and I said, no, that's not something that we would be doing. Had another person to call me and wanted to know, what do you have to do to create a crime watch neighborhood? I don't have a clue. Do you know, Mr. Bishop?
There's money that we collect on some of our stuff. Sports grants for those crimes.
I think the sheriff's office can do that.
So they need to talk with the sheriff's office.
Probably. probably like what Mr. Russell said at the Mr. Minson.
He's the chairman.
May I add something, Chair?
Yes.
I had a call just before I came here about some break-ins out on the front side there near Sydney Mountain. What's that subdivision between you and Woods Peak Road out there? Casper Street.
Yeah.
And they were having a little neighborhood meeting supposed to at 7:15. They invited me to it. And I said, I can't show, I got to miss you. But I said, I will miss you to law enforcement. And I did so. The lady in the back, I gave her the information I had, asked if she could do some surveillance out there. But they say if something's going to stop these people from breaking in out there, they're going to be a killer.
So, you know. Before I leave here, I'll give you the name of the guy that's doing that. I will.
Seems all crime, but you can get proven.
I know who it is.
Probably the same person we saw today.
He stole my generators, he stole my tanks, he stole everything.
Your generator back, didn't he?
No. The guy said that wasn't mine. I didn't go look at it.
Well, maybe he's the one that went over and stole our water pump and the battery out of our truck.
Oh, yeah, I've lost that too. So. I lost two waters.
That's amazing. Okay, another question that I had was on allowing ATVs on the roads, like where we have golf cart communities. I was talking to a guy in Georgia, and he said in Georgia you could do it. And so is it a state law?
State law. State
so
law.
It's not a county ordinance then?
No.
So we can't do anything about
it's
it?
It's a state law.
State law.
Okay.
And this is Florida.
Right, but he did, I mean, he, you know, I had some other people here to ask me, and I said, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a state law, not a county ordinance. Okay. And then, Commissioner Russell, this has to do with Hodges' part, but did you know did they ever spray the herbicide and everything for the sand spurs and weeds and all that was growing up through all that sand that we paid all that money for because it was full of sand spurs?
Did you ever haul the sand?
No.
That's the problem. They haven't ever hauled the sand.
But no, two couple of years ago,
oh,
we spent a ton
ago.
Of
yes.
money
yes,
on
they
sand.
Sprayed it. They sprayed it a half dozen times. But, and they even sent the inmates down and pulled all the sand spurs.
About 2 or 3 years ago. But yeah. I noticed this summer how it was all coming back up through there. Did we ever spray it or anything?
As far as I know, it was
the summer. Some of that came on nut grass. There's not much herbicide to do with nut grass.
I know that.
I got out and looked. Thought, boy, if this is sand spurs, we're going to have a problem.
It did look like sand spurs.
Well, what I thought of, I identified it. Not that I'm an expert on weeds.
It is.
I don't know about it. I thought it was nut grass.
The TDC, Don was going to present to y'all sometime in the future of sand replenishment.
Mr. Sadusky, I don't think they approve any more sand.
Because it blows her on his property. Okay, one other thing. I was looking at in our packet, and of the road paving list, of the road paving money, of funds, and I had asked that I receive that maybe we all would a monthly summary of our accounts to see what's happening. And now that I read it again, back in September, my account showed $75,561. And then right after that, it was $22,076. Now, it is down to $3,485. So if you add the $19,474 that's going to be added to it for 18, that gives me a total of only $22,959. I can't do anything with that. But how did I go from $75,000 to $3,000? I don't understand that, so you don't have to answer it tonight.
Okay.
But I want to say, well, you need to give me some of yours then, because you got a big pile of money in yours.
You can have some.
But no. I mean, here I am, and Commissioner Russell, now we got a lot of unpaved roads. And we got the largest geographical districts.
You only got 80% of unpaved roads in the county. He's got the rest.
And so, you know, here I am with a little measly $22,000. What am I going to do with that? But what do I want to know, Manny, what's happened to my money?
Okay. And just so y'all know, I think all of the budget amendments were approved in this meeting to account for any carry forward money. I've been kind of holding off on the reports because I knew that was going to be on the agenda. So I think after all of those are recorded, you'll have a true number of what you actually have.
That was some losses.
I understand, but as far as the carry forward money, I mean, it should be accurate, hopefully within the next few days.
And I'll send out the reports. I got some of your.
I saw that.
You got mine. You know what I got? You got mine.
But I'm generous with mine, and I do these community projects.
Well, you still got plenty left.
I got, like I had 75,000. Now I've spent it on half 35. So I'm back down to 60,000.
Well, you're just going to have like 161,000 time you get by the figures that I saw today.
Well, I got to look at somewhere to spend it.
Well, anyway, I just want to know how in the world did I go from September, from 75,561 down to $3,485? That's all. Anyhow. Well, for everybody that's here, thank you for being here.
Can I just... Yes, quite a crowd here. Just a quick question on the shelter. Are y'all okay with me opening in the morning, or are y'all trying to get something going faster than that?
Can't get that thing open tonight.
That's what
Wayne,
you want?
Wayne said that he would bring people there, and maybe you could ask him to get a debit if he's got one open. Stand by and just make sure that they just sleep.
Well, it's a matter of getting the building opened up and unlocked.
I just think
that's something that we should do. But anyway, thank you, staff.
Oh, I will open that up.
Say again?
So it's going to be open or no?
We are going to open it.
Tonight.
We're going to try to get it open tonight if we can.
Anybody
else have anything?
Happy New Year.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion approved.